or area to be agreed. Celebrations in Gaza and in Hostage Square, Tel Aviv. Back here in the UK, job advisors will go into GP surgeries to try and help people get work. As Kemi Badenoch announces she would abolish stamp duty, what are her political fortunes?
Has Kemi Badenoch really become the Ruben Amorim of politics? Who will last longer in their job? I'm LBC's Chris Chambers outside Old Trafford in Manchester.
Plus, the Manchester synagogue killer pledging allegiance to Islamic State before that attack. Those stories and more after the 7 o'clock news on LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 7 o'clock, Israel and Hamas have signed up to the first phase of President Trump's plan to end the fighting in Gaza.
It's been really an amazing period of time, and so great for Israel, so great for Muslims, for the Arab countries, and so great for this country, for the United States of America, and that we could be involved in, you know, making a deal like this happen.
Mr. Trump spoke to Fox News after the deal was signed overnight. A ceasefire is expected to take effect later today, followed by the release of the living Israeli hostages as soon as this weekend. They will be exchanged for Palestinian prisoners held in Israel. LBC's Blake Sifton is in Tel Aviv.
It's still quite early here. However, the reaction amongst the family members of the hostages held in Gaza has been one of jubilation. Even though it was 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning, people descended on Hostage Square. They've been popping champagne. We've seen tears of joy. However, from the overall umbrella group that represents the family members of the hostages, they have been a bit more reserved. They've said that they are receiving the news with a mix of excitement, anticipation, and concern, and that their struggle will not end until the last hostage returns.
The Israeli government will meet later today to approve the deal. It's been described by Keir Starmer as a moment of profound relief that will be felt around the world. Communities are being encouraged to hold vigils and light candles a week on from the Manchester synagogue terror attack. Ministers say the Day of Solidarity is an important opportunity to stand with the Jewish community. Police released an update last night revealing the attacker pledged allegiance to the Islamic State group in a 999 call. Sir Keir Starmer and his Indian counterpart Narendra Modi are holding talks in Mumbai. The Prime Minister's visit is focused on trade, but they're also expected to discuss India's close relationship with Russia. Delhi has continued to buy oil and gas from Moscow, despite the threat of sanctions. More pubs, clubs and restaurants could be allowed to stay open into the early hours. The plans are part of a push to cut red tape that ministers say is holding back Britain's hospitality sector. In the city, the FTSE 100 will reopen this morning at 95.48 after closing up 65 yesterday. The pound buys $1.33 and €1.15. LBC weather, dry and bright with sunny spells across the south, cloudier further north with some light patchy rain in parts of Northern Ireland. High of 19 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Thomas Watt.
There's always a lot going on. I'm on site getting the job done, running the business too, payments, invoices, admin, all on me. But now with Tap to Pay, I can take payments there and then, and Sage sorts the admin afterwards. Everything's sorted in the background so I don't spend hours doing it later. Magic.
Sage Copilot is built with over 40 years of experience, helping British businesses like Mike at Residual Electrical Contractors. That's more than artificial intelligence, that's authentic intelligence. Search Sage Copilot to learn more. T's and C's apply.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Good morning. 7:03, Thursday, October the 9th. For the United States, it's a beautiful day. For Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, it's a critical turning point, and they're dancing in the streets of Gaza. Yes, signatures from both Hamas and from Israel as regards some kind of deal. We probably don't know a lot more than we do know, but you could be looking at the release of hostages as soon as the weekend. Now, what does this mean for the chances of Donald Trump getting one of the glittering awards, the Nobel Peace Prize?
As calls intensify for Donald Trump to win the Nobel Peace Prize, I'm LBC's Henry Ridey looking back at previous winners and the controversy surrounding them.
Why, we will of course cover this in detail and bring you all breaking aspects. There are stories here at home.
The Manchester synagogue attacker called the police to pledge allegiance to the Islamic State during his attack. I'm LBC's Liam Gotting with the details.
On the political front, an absolute firecracker pulled out of the hat by Kemi Badenoch, the idea that she would scrap the much-hated stamp duty. What will that do for her political fortunes? What will it do for the slugging housing market? I'm going to share figures that were given to me overnight about the appalling sale of houses in London, hitting an all-time low. The property market really is snail-like at the moment. And the idea that job advisors will be posted to GP surgeries to try and help thousands of people to get back to work. Professor Camilla Hawthorne chairs the Royal College of GPs. She says GPs need more resources, though, in this area.
There are ways in which you can help people back into work, but we haven't had the resources to do that up until really quite recently.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
A moment of high drama, almost choreographed. For those of you who can remember that image of President Bush when he's reading a story to children, nursery school children, as I recall, and an aide whispers in his ear, "We're under attack," taking him back to the 9 days of 9/11. It was almost like that as President Trump was speaking with journalists and was interrupted by his Secretary of State, Marco Rubio. He was speaking with conservative influences in the White House. Mr. Rubio interrupted proceedings to hand the president a note, which he then shared.
I was just given a note by the Secretary of State saying that we're very close to a deal in the Middle East, and they're going to need me pretty quickly.
As I say, a moment of high drama. The note, we can now tell you, reads as follows. You need to approve a Truth Social post soon so you can announce deal first. And then President Trump later took to his social media platform, Truth Social, to confirm Israel and Hamas had signed off on the first phase of his peace plan. Here's how some U.S. networks broke the news.
To a Fox News alert, President Trump just announced a deal between Israel and Hamas.
Now the president has posted on Truth Social that an agreement has been reached between Israel and Hamas to bring the war in Gaza to an end.
We do begin with breaking news just a few seconds ago here. President Trump has announced Israel and Hamas have signed off on what he is calling the first phase of his peace plan.
You heard from Fox News, CNN, and MSNBC, respectively. Then President Trump spoke with Fox News' Sean Hannity and praised his team for their work in achieving the deal.
It's a great honor to be involved in it. We had some tremendous help, as you know, with everybody from Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner and Marco. And we had everybody, JD, the whole group was just amazing. And the military was, as you know, very instrumental in getting this done. We have a great military with great leadership. The whole world came together, to be honest. So many countries that you wouldn't have even thought of, and they came together. The world has come together around this deal. And that's something I would say that without that wouldn't happen. I think you're going to see people getting along, and you'll see Gaza being rebuilt. We're forming a council that the Council of Peace, we think it's going to be called, and it's going to be very powerful, and it's going to really... I think to a large extent it's going to have a lot to do with the whole Gaza situation. People are going to be taken care of. It's going to be a different world. I think really the Middle East came together. Amazingly, they came together. You know, they have some countries with extraordinary wealth, and just spending a small portion of that wealth can do so much for that area. So we'll be involved in it, but the big thing is hostages are going to be released. It's probably... our time would be probably Monday.
So President Trump saying the world has come together, and that's supported by the fact that the negotiations took place in Egypt and, of course, had negotiators from countries such as Qatar and Turkey. Now, the breakthrough comes 2 years and 2 days after Israel launched a military campaign in Gaza in response to the attacks of the 7th of October, in which Hamas-led gunmen killed, it's believed, approximately 1,200 people and took 251 others as hostage. Cheers and celebrations rang out in what's been known now in Tel Aviv as Hostage Square. And I'm pleased to report there were celebrations also in Gaza. So So let's go straight to LBC's Washington correspondent Simon Marks, who joins me now. Extraordinary scenes overnight, Simon. As I said right at the top, we don't know a lot more than we do know, and we're wrestling with vapors to a degree. But can you fathom what happens next, Simon? Good morning.
Good morning to you, Nick. It is the day that the White House has coveted. I mean, let's be clear. From the moment President Trump returned to power, he has wanted to be in a position to announce that he has resolved the two major conflicts roiling the world, the one in Gaza and the one in Ukraine. And it is the Gaza one that he is basically announcing this morning that at least partially he believes is now coming to an end. It is important to underscore that the president produced a 20-point peace plan a few days ago that has been the focus of all of these negotiations. He's now saying that phase one, whatever that means in detail, has now been agreed. So there are all sorts of questions still about Gaza's future. But in terms of the immediate future that lies ahead, if the Israeli cabinet approves this agreement later today, a ceasefire will go into immediate effect. Then we will start to witness the release of all hostages held by Hamas, those still alive, believed to be around 20 of them, and the bodies of those who have died. They will be returned to Israel, President Trump saying, as you heard there, very soon, could happen over the weekend, might happen on Monday. Hamas is waiting for a final list of hundreds of Palestinian detainees that the Israelis will free. There are some suggestions it could be as many as 2,000 individuals involved in that return, and an Israeli military withdrawal would occur to an agreed upon line. And I think there's going to be a huge amount of interest in understanding where that line is physically being drawn. Is this in any sense going to be a full-scale Israeli military withdrawal? Because the devil in all of this is going to be in the details. And where those Israeli troops are being pulled back to will be critical. The Israelis also say they're going to allow hundreds of trucks of humanitarian assistance so urgently needed in Gaza to enter the territory every single day going forward.
You're wired into Washington. President Trump is making it pretty plain this could never have happened without him. How justified is that claim, Simon?
Well, I think there is no question that it is a justifiable claim. I mean, the reason that we knew that this deal was in the offing was because the president's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, and the U.S. Special Envoy, Steve Witkoff, arrived 24 hours ago in Sharm el-Sheikh in Egypt, and the White House said they would not leave until the deal was finalized. So they knew that this was getting close. But I think also, Nick, it is absolutely vital to remember that in 24 hours' time, we will learn who has won this year's Nobel Peace Prize. And in all of those cadences the American president was articulating in his interview on Sean Hannity and the choreography, as you identified it, of the last few hours that took place at the White House, he is absolutely laying claim now to that prize.
Simon Marks, LBC's Washington correspondent, 12 minutes after 7. Let's speak now, of course, about the humans involved in this. The 2,000 Palestinian hostages will be returned. And, of course, those Israeli hostages, some of whom have been held, we understand, in the most deplorable conditions. Adam Rose is a lawyer for the British-connected hostages and, of course, for their families. Joins me now. Mr. Rose, are you able to tell us for whom you're acting, which families you're acting for? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Yes, of course, we continue to represent the families of Avinatan Or, who is a 32-year-old man who we understand is alive. There has been one sighting of him during the 2 years that he has been held in captivity. Your listeners might remember his girlfriend, Noah Argamani, who was the young woman taken away on the back of a moped. His mother is British, and we wait for his return. We also represent Yossi Sharabi, who sadly we know is dead. And we know Yossi Sharabi is dead because in one of those quirks of fate, Noah Argamani was with him when he died. So we know he is dead. The Sharabi family, Eli Sharabi, came out. Again, your listeners will remember an emaciated man. There were three men in their 50s came out in spring of this year, totally emaciated during one of those horrific, grotesque pantomimes of the releases that were going on. Eli Sharabi's wife and two daughters, who were both British, were murdered on the 7th of October 2023. That's Leanne, Noya, and Yahel.
Mr. Rose, noting this happened, what, 7 hours or so ago, six or so, I doubt you've spoken with the families yet, but what has your reaction been, as you're working so closely? What do you anticipate the families' reactions will be?
Look, I think everyone for the past, as you said, I think 2 years and 2 days, over that period, everyone has held on to hope. And the reason you hold on to hope is the alternative is hopelessness. And the families have been very strong and held on to that hope that their family member and indeed all the hostages will be released. There will be huge mixed emotions. Of course, there will be hope. I think no one is getting excited yet. I know you played some whooping and whatever
yes.
before, but the reality is, I think until people are back, until Yossi Shirabi is back with his family for burial, until Avi Natan is back with his mum, with his girlfriend, you hold on to hope, but you mustn't get overexcited, because once dealing with terrorists, yes. Hamas cannot be trusted to carry this out. We've seen before failures in deals where people were expecting to come out and they didn't come out. Eli Shirabi himself, in his book that's out today, Hostage, he talks about the fact that he felt he was being lined up for release and then his hopes were dashed. So hold on to hope, but don't get excited yet.
Mr. Rose, thank you for your time. Good luck with all the work you're doing. Adam Rose is a lawyer acting for the two families that he mentioned. What a point he makes there. I mean, I was going to say imagine being one of the families. I can't. It is beyond all. I don't know how. Well, you'd have to keep going because you hope you get your family member back. But the nervousness now as you wait, possibly, and this is only Reuters, and they're saying it's a rumour, so please don't take it as fact, releases as early as Saturday. Well, you're not going to sleep tonight, are you? You're not going to sleep tomorrow. You're not going to sleep till you see your daughter, your husband, your mother, whatever it might be, actually being released. And will they go through those rather sickening performances where each of the hostages has to stand alongside masked terrorists? Would that be part of the choreography? And what about Donald Trump now, the Nobel Peace Prize? Not, of course, necessarily this year, but in the future. We'll be looking at that as well. Now, there are important events at home. And she wants to scrap the tax, Conservative Party leader Gemi Badenoch.
Conference, the next Conservative government will abolish stamp duty on your home. It'll be gone.
Chuckling as she delivered that bombshell, we'll look at the impact of that. It's 7:16, LBC News headlines read by Thomas Watts.
The Prime Minister says the agreement of the first phase of a Gaza peace deal is a moment of profound relief. President Trump's confirmed Israel and Hamas have agreed to a ceasefire and initial exchange of hostages and prisoners. It could see the 20 living Israeli captives freed as soon as this weekend. LBC weather, dry and bright with sunny spells in the south, cloudier further north, a high of 19 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Severe delays on the M25 anti-clockwise to the Dartford Tunnel. It was after an accident that happened earlier. There are queues all the way back to Junction 2 at the A2, but all the lanes are now back open. Long delays on the A3 northbound to the Hook Junction. That's because of an accident. Those queues almost back to Esher Common. Also delays on the South Mimms roundabout. This is the roundabout just off the M25 at Junction 23 and the A1. It's because a lorry's broken down and two lanes are closed on the roundabout. In Penge, the high street remains closed in both directions following a fire. And on the underground, there are severe delays on the Victoria line. And that was after a track problem and now a train has broken down.
This is LBC.
At Lidl, we value play that inspires little minds. It's why we've brought back our wooden toy event. Grab over 100 classic toys from £7.99, like our railway set or dressing table. Download Lidl Plus and save up to 20%. Lidl, more to value. 18 plus GB only. Selected stores subject to availability. T's and C's apply. See lidl.co.uk/LPTV. Offer ends 15th of October.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060973. LBC. Across the UK, people like Phil face their toughest challenges alone.
It's a pain that I feel like the body can't comprehend losing a child because you are not supposed to outlive your children.
LBC's charity, Make Some Noise, is here to support people like Phil.
It's kind of a family that you never wanted to be a part of and you would never choose to be a part of it. But now you're in it, you don't know what you'd do without.
You can change lives. Donate now at makesomenoise.com. Proudly supported by Furniture Village.
Now, listen carefully. I want you to think of selling your car. Who's going to buy that car? Keep thinking. Struggling to know where to look? motorway, there are 7,500 verified dealers who are ready and waiting to bid on your car. It's not magic, it's motorway. Sell your car today at motorway.co.uk.
So, what's on your to-do list today? Why don't you check if you're eligible for pension credit? It tops up your pension income and also opens up help with heating bills, council tax, and more. Search pension credit on gov.uk or call 0800 991234. There's nothing to lose. Check today. Pension credit. Credit where credit's due. Eligibility criteria apply.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
7:20 come to your calls at the moment. Obviously, this is a breaking news, effectively, and developing news. So there's probably, allowing for the time difference, of course, over in the United States, in Washington, at least, they're going to be 5 hours behind. So it most likely will go quiet for some time. But as I say, there's what we do know is that it's a wonderful day for the United States. It's a critical turning point for Israel, and they're dancing in the streets of Gaza. What has to be determined, of course, to use Donald Trump's line, is where we'll withdraw troops, quotes, to an agreed-upon line. Now, that's going to be, I would imagine, a degree of to-ing and fro-ing, and that's something that needs to be hammered out. And then, of course, the actual release of those hostages. We'll come to your calls on that in just a moment. Now, news is a fast-moving animal, as we all know, a fast-moving beast. So although the agenda has moved on, I would imagine the Conservative Party will be pretty happy with most of the front pages, because they support, and some even laud, the work Kemi Badenoch did in her barnstorming speech, says the Daily Express. I'll axe stamp duty to help millions buy a house. Remind me to share with you a little bit later figures that were given overnight about the appalling purchasing houses in London. I mean, shocking figures, the worst. The Daily Mail, obviously very much a conservative supporting paper. Kemi fires up Tories with pledge to scrap hated stamp duty. And there is Mrs. Badenoch on the front page of the Daily Telegraph, hugging her husband in the picture. Hamish, this is the Kemi we waited too long to see. The other story on the front pages of both the Daily Mirror and the Sun is I want Maddie back calling me mum. This is the most extraordinary story. Kate McCann telling a court of her anguish over a woman claiming to be Madeline. That's, don't get much lower than that, do you? Let's come to the LBC app and also pick up on developing American headlines as well. The app telling us celebrations in Gaza and Israel as Trump announces the first phase of the peace plan. That's also the front page of the Times of Israel. Israel and Hamas finalise deal to free all hostages. Trump quotes, great day for Israel, great day for the world. Haaretz, which is another Israeli newspaper, Israel Hamas reach Gaza ceasefire deal. Hostages will be released. They say Monday. That might have moved. For the Washington Post, Israel and Hamas agree to the first phase of deal to end war in Gaza. And let's finish in America with the New York Times. Not necessarily one of the great headlines you'll ever read. Israel and Hamas agree to hostage and prisoner release. So that is the exchange they're talking about. We're going to come to more of your reactions on that in just a moment. But we will, of course, be covering stories in the United Kingdom as well. And this is one that takes us up to Manchester, but not to the Conservative Party conference, rather to those horrific events just days before the conference that took place when the terrorist went to the synagogue when people were attending prayers on their holy day. Latest development comes now from LBC's reporter Liam Gotting, who joins me now. Liam, good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Well, the man who carried out the Manchester synagogue attack, we learned, made a 999 call in which he pledged allegiance to the group calling itself Islamic State. This update came late yesterday afternoon from Counter Terror Northwest, who say Jihad al-Shami drove into worshippers and hit a wall before making the call to police, pledging his allegiance to that group. We also learned that six people were held by police in the aftermath, with two, a man and a woman, arrested in the hours after the attack and released on Sunday evening. Counter Terror Northwest's Assistant Chief Constable Rob Potts read a statement outside their headquarters yesterday.
Minutes after the first call was made to GMP, and as firearms officers were making their way to the scene, al-Shami called 999, claiming responsibility for the attack. He also pledged allegiance to Islamic State. The attack continued, but thanks to the bravery of security staff, worshippers, and the fast action of police, the attacker was prevented from gaining access to the synagogue.
Meanwhile, Nick, the police watchdog say they've found no evidence of misconduct in the fatal shooting of one of the victims as officers were taking down Al-Shami. The IOPC has now confirmed that Adrian Dolby, one of the victims, suffered a single but fatal gunshot wound after armed officers responded to the incident. Three Greater Manchester police officers who fired their weapons are being treated as witnesses and the case remains under review. 1 week on, Geraldine, a member of the synagogue, has told LBC they're still coming to terms with what happened.
The government's very much let us down, very much. We don't want money, we don't want extra guards, we don't want police. We want them to sort this out. And the first thing they can do is stop these horrendous marches, because they are breeding more hate. And Lammy was here the other day, he said he stood by us. We don't need people to stand by us. We want the marches, we want the stuff that happens at universities. Our kids don't feel safe. So we don't need platitudes from anybody. Stop the marches, go into the universities, sort out what's happening at the universities. The universities don't take us seriously. No one takes us seriously. So two poor men, two very, very good men, died. Why? Because they were Jewish. That's it. That's the only reason they died.
And Nick, a National Day of Solidarity is taking place today. It's being organised by a coalition of faith and community groups as a chance for people to come together, to stand together for respect, tolerance and freedom of worship. People of all different faiths are expected to come together today to pray for those who died, while schools across Greater Manchester and the country will hold a minute's silence to mark 1 week since the synagogue attack.
Liam Gotting reporting, 7:25. Coming to your call, John, in just a moment. Tom in Godstone says, I can't be the only person who's embarrassed for Keir Starmer this morning. A decent, tangible ceasefire deal is orchestrated by the US, while the virtue signalling recognising the state of Palestine stance Keir Starmer and others took has achieved absolutely nothing. Perhaps Starmer should have listened to Trump on his state visit and held off. What is it about Donald Trump, by the way? What an extraordinary individual he is. Excuse me. You all know I've got the cough, so I'm not going to try and hide it up. Because at one point, he's like a bully, when you recall how he was with Zelensky in his White House office. Appalling behaviour. Another time, he can be abusive about journalists as well. And yet, at the next breath, he might have pulled off one of the most significant peace deals in recent years. What is it about the man? And if, as many of you do, you have TDS, Trump Derangement Syndrome, this is going to be a tough day for you today, isn't it? Because, and dear Lord, I don't want to in any way jeopardise it, but it looks as though the bloke has actually somehow managed to broker some kind of ceasefire that is going to get the hostages released, going to get hostages and prisoners released there on the other side, and hopefully get aid into Gaza. If you're a Trump hater, and there are legions of you, how does that sit with your coffee this morning, or your tea this morning? Not exactly your cup of tea to hear success, is it? And what is it about the man? We might talk of trying to do a sort of psychiatric profile later in the show. John's in Farnham. John, how do you react to the news? Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. All very good. I just thought it was interesting that Trump sort of praised everyone being happy around the world and happy in Israel and happy here and there, but never said about being happy in Palestine or Gaza.
Did he not say that this is a... I thought he said this was a great day for Gaza, because it would allow
No, I didn't think he did.
Did he not? Okay, well,
he says Israel and everyone else in the world, but he doesn't mention those.
Okay, well, we'll have a good look. Do you not... Well, let's take your view. I'm just quickly reading. Can I get the full text of what the president said? Sorry, I said that aloud, didn't I? How do you interpret it for the Palestinians and for Gaza?
I think it's a move forward, and Trump, you know, has obviously been very deeply involved in it. But will it get through at the end of the day? I don't know.
This is thank you to my colleague. This is a great day for the Arab and Muslim world, Israel, yeah, all surrounding nations, and the United States. Okay, so you don't see Gaza or Palestine. Okay, I mean, you could argue that Arab and Muslim world take some of that in. Would you be able to say that?
Yeah, he could have mentioned them specifically. Couldn't he mention Israel specifically?
He did.
So I just thought he missed them.
You're a fan of Trump?
A bit. I think the US needed a disruptor. He's not the best for everyone, but
no.
some places get a bit comfy and they needed shaking up.
Last question. Does the UK need a disruptor?
Yes, it does.
Do you know who that might be?
I don't think it will be Farage, but there will be another disruptor coming through.
We need a disruptor. John, thank you. Nigel and Temple Fortune, it's been a while. I trust you're well. Your take?
Yes, good morning. Nice to chat to you. Well, I'm delighted and I'm embraced by the amazing chance and statements by Donald Trump. I think he should be nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize.
I think he probably will be. No, if it comes off, I think he probably will be.
I think there's no one in the Middle East has done what he's done. All these haters out there talk about hate. Let's not forget that he's achieved what no one else has achieved if this goes ahead today. It's phenomenal. It's taken 2 years and he's done it. I mean, our leader's done nothing. I mean, what did our leader say after the attack last week in Manchester? Not much. He just went to a synagogue in the evening with his wife, which is a very low-down key affair in St. John's Wood. And I think for me, and you know, living in America like you've done before, it's very different to living here.
Very.
People embrace the president in a different way to embrace the prime minister. This man is remarkable in what he's done. And let's not forget that 92% of former presidents have all been military people. This guy's not a military man. I just think that, you know, people talk about Gaza and Palestine, Israel. Let's not forget that Israel is a democratically elected government. There's no democracy in Palestine or Gaza.
Good speaking with you, Nigel. Thank you. Let's see what others make of your comments. We're going to give you more detail on the Nobel Peace Prize, by the way. He hasn't won it. Controversial winners in the past. I'll say other because he's not going to win it. He may well, of course, be nominated. And also after the news.
The government wants economic growth to be one of the tests councils apply to licensing decisions, meaning pubs might be about to stay open for longer. I'm Christian May from City AM, and I'll be discussing this all with Nick shortly.
And many would say cheers to that idea. 7:30, breakfast with me, Nick Ferrari on LBC, and the news is with Thomas Watts.
Israel and Hamas have agreed to the first phase of Donald Trump's peace plan for the Middle East. A ceasefire is expected to begin later today, with Israeli troops beginning their withdrawal from Gaza. All the remaining living Israeli hostages are set to be released as soon as this weekend. The Prime Minister has called it a moment of profound relief. In the last half hour, five water firms have been given approval to raise bills by up to 5% more than previously agreed. They'd argued previous price controls meant they wouldn't be able to meet their regulatory requirements. LBC weather, dry and bright with sunny spells across the south, cloudier further north with some light patchy rain. In parts of Northern Ireland, a high of 19 degrees.
Tom Swarbrick on LBC.
Counter-terror police Northwest have confirmed that the man who carried out the Manchester synagogue attack made a 999 call in which he pledged allegiance to the so-called Islamic State group. I really, really, really worry about this problem. We need to learn more about how this man was radicalized, but we know the pattern of this. It happens again and again and again and again. The signs are there.
Tom Swarbrick, Monday to Friday from 4 p.m. Listen on your radio, on our free Global Player app or the LBC app.
Buying a home on a holiday park was the retreat you always wanted. But then came unexpected site fee increases. And that was before the dramatic loss in value. If you bought a home on a holiday park in the UK, you may have been missold. HolidayParkAdviceCentre.co.uk could help you receive thousands in compensation. Text ASSIST to 78900. That's ASSIST to 78900.
Fraud can happen faster than you think. But at Barclays, we use innovative technology that spots fraud in under a second. And our dedicated team of experts work 24/7. So you can go about your day knowing we never stop working to keep you and your money safe. Search Barclays Fraud Protection to see how you can stay one step ahead. Barclays, make money work for you.
For anyone needing assistance when travelling with TfL, such as people with visual or mobility impairments, our Turn Up and Go service has staff on hand to help. It's available at all London Underground, London Overground and Elizabeth Line stations, and there's no need to book. Just turn up and go. That is how we're making the greener way to travel more accessible to all. Search TfL Improvement Plan. To the Mayor of London and TfL, every journey matters. Greener than total estimated petrol and diesel car emissions.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
7:33, back to your calls. William, you're going to be giving us your view of President Trump's work and, of course, others involved, and those more calls to come on that. But as we told you just before the news there, well, we could be saying cheers to longer licensing hours. It's the front page of one of your newspapers in the morning, The Guardian. Ministers commit to overhaul of licensing laws and push for growth. What does that mean in English? Editor-in-chief at City AM, Christian May, joins me now to explain. Morning, Christian.
Good morning, Nick. Yes, yesterday we were talking about proposals from a think tank quite close to the government saying it's time to jack up the price of alcohol and we should be discouraging people from going to the pubs. I was pleased to see that it was met with a stony silence from the government, though it certainly sparked some debate in the city. Now we see the Prime Minister is determined now to spearhead a rapid red tape review of licensing rules and the pub and hospitality sector. I'm very encouraged by this. The Tories have been quick out this morning saying, well, this is all, you know, too little, too late, and what's the point of a review? And we know that the government has piled costs on hospitality, and that's all true, but we should give the government some credit for recognising that, as Starmer says, pubs are the beating heart of high streets and communities, and he wants, among other things, for councils considering applications for licensed premises to add a new element to the rather long list of things they already have to consider, such as public safety and policing, etc. He wants them to now have to consider economic growth. And I'm all in favour of that. So there's going to be a review of how licences are granted. The ideas include quite dramatically extending the number of days or nights that venues can apply for events licences, make it easier for venues to offer outside seating, etc. They have worked very closely with the hospitality industry to put this review together, UK Hospitality, British Beer and Pub Association, and it is quite an urgent situation. There's about 8 pubs a week close in this country so far throughout 2025. And it's a very, very difficult industry to be in. Same goes with restaurants. And so every little helps. I think this review, if they run with it, could lead to some positive developments. And indeed, it could lead to some later opening hours, more outside seating and some more live events. And I'm all in favour of all of that.
Yeah, let's hope that industry, goodness knows, it needs an injection. Let's hope it helps. And let's come to your front page. Banks, big tech, bubble alarm. What's the story behind that, Christian?
Yeah, yesterday the Bank of England published its latest financial stability and risk report, where it basically looks out horizon scanning and tries to identify the risks to UK financial stability, one of which it landed on and said there is some concern that the extraordinary boom in valuation of big tech companies, particularly associated with AI and largely listed in the United States, if it is approaching what economists call something of a bubble territory. And there are two schools of thought on this. One is that these valuations make no sense, that these AI technologies are barely being monetized, and that sooner or later everyone's going to realize the emperor's got no clothes on and there's going to be a burst. And other people say, no, this is the real deal. This is sort of going to go on and on and on. There's a big sense of FOMO in the market, fear of missing out, people piling into these stocks. And the Bank of England, along with the IMF, who made the very same point yesterday afternoon, have said that there is a concern that this is something like, you know, could be seen as something like the dot-com bubble of the 90s, and that if these stocks were to burst, if the valuations were suddenly to start to plummet, it would have a material impact on UK financial stability, given our exposure to it, given how much the government has bet the bank on AI investment. So it is just a risk. It's the job of these regulators to keep an eye on risks. Analysts are divided. Some say, yes, I do think there's a little bit frothy, a little bit hyped valuations, a little bit of a risk here. But other people saying, no, stick with it. This is the real thing. But the Bank of England are now just putting it on record that they are a little bit nervous about the runaway valuations and the boom driven by these great tech giants.
Christian, who's warning of a bleak future as regards jobs in Europe?
Jim Ratcliffe, and he said it
probably
many
need
times
to listen,
before.
Then, don't we?
I think he knows of what he speaks, and he's having to move investment out of this country and into the US. We know that the chemicals sector, in particular, you know, it's not a very sexy sector. You know, I'm afraid it doesn't attract the attention of some of the others, but a lot of jobs, a lot of money, a lot of expertise, and we know that refineries and chemicals plants are closing in this country as they are across Europe. And so Jim Ratcliffe has launched a fairly major intervention today, and he said that this really is the 11th hour to prevent a catastrophic collapse of Europe's, not just the UK, Europe's chemicals industry in particular. He says that we have to get to grips with the fact that we're paying 4 times the energy price than America when it comes to gas, the same for electricity. This is economically, he said, A million jobs directly employed in the sector are at risk. 5 million, he claims, if you take the supporting industries and supply chains and associated sectors. He says that the government here and across Europe have got to get serious about reducing the tax, the carbon tax, the energy costs and the regulations in this sector, or be prepared to simply see it wither away. And other parts of the world will pick up the slack. So it's quite a punchy intervention from Jim Ratcliffe. And as you rightly pointed out, Nick, he knows what he's talking about.
He does indeed. Finally, Sir Keir Starmer will meet with his Indian counterpart Narendra Modi in India today. And there's some big business going on behind the scenes.
That's right. The government has made a big deal of this trip to India, which is obviously off the back of a trade deal. And Prime Minister has said that they've unlocked about £1 billion worth of investment from Indian companies into the UK as a result of this trip, including a commitment to produce some fairly major Bollywood blockbusters in the UK. India is the film capital of the world. It's the largest producer of films in the world. And Starmer has said that we'd like a little slice of that. So, you know, along with the many other business leaders and experts that he took with him on this trip were representatives of the UK film industry and some of our leading studios, which is a great success story in this country, and has agreed a commitment that several big Bollywood films will be made in the UK. And he took people from Pinewood and Elstree with him, so I'm sure there's going to be some activity on the ground in those studios.
Talk around the same time tomorrow. Thank you, Christian May, Editor-in-Chief at City AM, 7:40. Coming to you, William, in just a moment. Let's get a couple of the posts and the texts that are coming in. William in Cape Town. Nominations for Nobel Prizes have to be received by the end of January each year. Trump was only inaugurated as president on the 21st. It's highly unlikely he'll be nominated this year, but he could be nominated next year. William, thank you for the background there. David in Cardiff says, I always say, in jest, when I'm asked what do I want for my birthday, which is today, I want world peace. My late mother used to say, what do you want for Christmas? You used to say, world peace. Okay. I feel we might be one step closer to it today, says David. Lastly, this comes in from John. It'll be interesting to see how so many on the left wake up to this news. You think they'll be spluttering into their cornflakes. William's in Harrow. How have you woken up to the news? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Delighted to hear that this killing will stop.
Yes.
And the hostages will come home.
Yes.
Sadly, they won't all be coming home. Sadly, it's a bittersweet, but it's a good finish. But as regard to Mr. Trump, diplomacy winning this, that's nonsense.
What's brought this about then, William?
Hamas are beaten to the... Look at the state of the Gaza Strip.
Yes.
You probably won't find one house that would pass an inspection by our guys here.
Mm.
It's flattened. Yes. Everybody is in it being killed. The people have been marched up and down for the last 2 years. Families have been killed. Whole families. There was a doctor and his wife and their 9 children. Mm-hmm. And there don't be a word about it.
William?
This is not a diplomacy thing. This is a war. People have been battered, and I have no sympathy for Hamas. Don't get me wrong.
Right. I just want to ask, William, what is it about President Trump, do you think, that looks to have done this deal? What is it about the man, lastly?
He's a clever man. He makes it look... He hasn't hidden the fact that he's out to get this peace prize. And he's made Mr. Netanyahu. You notice today there's not a word from Mr. Netanyahu. You would think this war was between America and Hamas. And it probably was.
Well, I do need to say, actually, there has been a statement from Benjamin Netanyahu. He calls it a critical turning point. That through steadfast resolve, powerful military action, and the great efforts of our great friend and ally, President Trump, we've reached the critical turning point. So just to clarify, there is that statement from the Israeli Prime Minister. William, thank you. Lee's in Leicester. Lee, what is it about this man Trump, then? Morning.
Good morning, sir. A great show. I've been listening to LBC for a few weeks now, and I love it.
Oh, yeah, lovely. Well, what were you listening... What radio station were you listening to a few weeks and a day ago, then? Where did we get you from?
I've been predominantly Radio 5 Live. I've now turned to LBC.
There you go. Great to have you on board, sir. In the great city of Leicester. Oh, Lord.
Leicestershire. I'm from the northeast originally, but Leicestershire, yeah.
Oh, good. It's a beautiful county. I know it well. My mum was raised in Leicester. If you're a new listener, you won't know that, so I know Leicester well. Right, sir. What is it in the makeup of Donald Trump that seems to have brought this breakthrough?
I think he's good with his words. He's good. He's, I don't know the ins and outs of what he's done to do the deal. I think it's a great deal. Good luck to him. Good luck to the deal.
Yep.
However, will it last? I don't know. There's thousands of years of history between. Well,
I'm afraid of, no, there's centuries.
Yeah. And I think will it last? I'm not so sure. There's a lot of hatred there, and it could be 5 years, 10 years, and even if it lasts 5, 10 years, it's still good. And I also hope that I wish that there was an ounce of Trump in our the person that runs our country at the moment.
Well, I was going to ask you lastly, Lee. A lot of people on emails and texts, and a couple of callers have said, you know, we could do with a bit of Trumpian or a Trump-esque leader in the United Kingdom. How do the two men compare in your view, Sir Keir Starmer and Donald Trump, Lee?
Completely the opposite. Complete opposite. One's talks, does what he says. When he says, he can be offensive sometimes.
Yeah.
But look at. So can our Prime Minister be offensive when he said about the making a mistake? And I just think that what he says he does, and one is full of absolute crap and has no balls.
All right. Okay. That's outdoor language there, Lee. Look after yourself in Leicestershire. Apologies for that. That's about as close as we can go, I sense. Lee, welcome over from Five Live. You're the real views of people here. Mark, you're going to be the next caller on that. The Prime Minister is speaking at a press conference, with Narendra Modi. I mentioned about 10 minutes ago. We'll bring you whatever he says about the Middle East. Also coming up after the news, job advisors will be posted to GP surgeries to help 40,000 sick and disabled Brits back into work. Professor Camilla Hawthorne chairs the Royal College of GPs. She thinks GPs need more resources in this area.
There are ways in which you can help people back into work, but we haven't had the resources to do that up until really quite recently.
We'll hear more on that plan after this, 7:45. LBC News headlines read by Thomas Watts.
World leaders have welcomed the agreement of the first phase of Donald Trump's peace plan for Gaza. The president says all the remaining Israeli hostages will be released very soon. They will be exchanged for Palestinian prisoners, with Israeli troops beginning a withdrawal from Gaza. LBC weather, dry and bright with sunny spells in the south. Cloudier further north, a high of 19 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne. We're very slow on the M25, anti-clockwise from Junction 3 at the M20 to the Dartford Tunnel. And that was after an accident that happened earlier. Slow for about 4 miles on the A2 westbound up to Pepper Hill. And that's also after an accident. Very busy on the A3 northbound up to the Hook Junction. And in Penge, the High Street remains closed both ways because of a fire. So it's very busy in the area. There are delays around the South Mimms roundabout. That's the roundabout just off the M25 at Junction 23 because a lorry has broken down. It's actually on the roundabout itself, so that's very slow. And on the underground, there are severe delays on the Victoria line. There was a track problem earlier at Walthamstow Central. There's a brief suspension, but it's back up and running, but with severe delays.
This is LBC.
Hey, it's me, your dishwasher. I'm sorry about the chaos last night. I think a fork got jammed in my racks. Whoops. Don't even check the bills. I've overdone it. Don't get mad, okay, but I used up lots of power yesterday. Sometimes you just have to blow off some steam.
It can feel like all your energy does is take, take, take. But the longer you're with OVO, the more rewards you get. OVO, do energy differently. Beyond customers only, eligibility required, redemption limits apply.
Call Nick Ferrari now, 0345 6060 973, LBC.
They did it again. Flour instead of flowers on my birthday. I'm 95 minutes late, but it's hard to leave when you've shared so much. Your postcode, your gluten intolerance. Then I saw it. 25% off your first Ocado shop, plus free delivery. And I just knew I'd found the online supermarket of my dreams. Ocado, life delivered. Geographical restrictions, min spend £60 and charges apply. Max saving £20, new customers only. Terms at Ocado.com.
Julie could part exchange her car. Or check out We Buy Any Car. She could be unsure if she got a good deal part exchanging. Or have cash in the bank with more bargaining power to get a bigger car for her five-a-side team. Totally played. Or total player. To get a quote in 30 seconds, enter your reg number now at WeBuyAnyCar.com.
So, What's on your to-do list today? Why don't you check if you're eligible for pension credit? It tops up your pension income and also opens up help with heating bills, council tax, and more. Search pension credit on gov.uk or call 0800 991234. There's nothing to lose. Check today. Pension credit. Credit where credit's due. Eligibility criteria apply.
Amazon offers term time working to their employees, like Anton, who's home to look after his daughters during their holidays.
Hello!
To him, this is the best sound in the world. Actually, maybe that's the best sound of all. Now that's term time working. Offered at Amazon. 10 weeks off guaranteed per year. Mix of paid holiday and unpaid time off. Conditions apply.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
We'll return to our conversation about the Middle East, of course, in just a moment. 7:49 is the time. As I say, expect a little bit of quiet now. Bear in mind the time difference in Washington. We know that our Prime Minister, British Prime Minister, is speaking with Narendra Modi. We'll bring whatever he says from that press conference in India. But let's go to domestic stories. And how many times have we said on this show that work is good for you? Work is good for you, obviously, financially. It's good for you physically. It's good for you emotionally as well. So any initiative to try and help people to get into work or back into work surely has to be welcomed. And there's one on the way today. Here with the details. Work and Pension Secretary Pat McFadden, who joins me now. Good to have you on board, sir. What is it you and your colleagues are announcing this morning? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. We've a programme called Connect to Work. It's aimed at long-term sick and disabled people. And a feature of the welfare state in recent years, which I think has troubled a lot of people, is this fork in the road or this binary divide between people who are classed fit for work and they go down one track and they go to the job centre and there's lots of expectations about looking for a job and so on. And then there's unfit for work where people are given benefits and frankly nothing else. And I want to deal with that fork in the road in a much more active way by offering help to people who are long-term sick and disabled to help them back into work. Sometimes this isn't easy. Welfare is where policy meets life. We have to get the staff out of the job centre to where people are, for example, in GP surgeries or other places in the community, and get the right support in place, because I don't want people to be written off, and nor do I want the allocation of sickness benefits to be a one-off lifetime verdict, when sometimes someone's conditions can change, their situation can change, and we just shouldn't write them off. So that's what this is about. Connect to Work. I'm announcing £167 million for 9 different parts of England, and I'm going to visit one of the parts of England where this is in operation later today, down in Portsmouth.
How many people are we talking about in this group, Mr. McFadden?
Potentially up to 300,000 over the coming years. That's the target. It's a big target. It's ambitious. But I really do think we have to deal with this binary divide between you're fit for work or you're just given benefits and never contacted again.
So you're docked down to Portsmouth. What are the other areas of the country that are going to benefit from these?
From today, we are talking about funding in Plymouth and Devon. We're talking about funding in the northeast of England. Another feature of this is we want to do it through mayors and local authorities, because very often they know their own labour market best. So there's a big element of devolution in this as well.
How will we know if it's working?
Well, we'll know if it's working because we'll track the cases. And it's a new programme, but the early evidence is that with the right support and help for people, people do want to get into work. You know, in a different context, I visited Barking Job Centre a couple of weeks ago. I spoke to 4 women who'd been on sickness benefits for a very long time. They'd been invited in. They'd been given extra support. What was really striking, Nick, was all 4 of them wanted to work. They were glad they'd been contacted. They were glad they'd been called in. We have to do far more of this. We've written people off too readily, and then we've had a welfare debate that's just about, well, I'm going to save X billion. It doesn't work like that. You have to get the support, the encouragement in place to get people into work.
Just lastly on this, there's not a bit of a mixed message here, is there, Mr. McFadden? Because your front bench colleague Wes Streeting is trying to persuade us to do more and more of our GP work online, and now you're saying that we're going to have job advisors in the surgeries where a lot of people don't even go anymore, Mr. McFadden.
Well, I don't think so. The NHS app that is being developed by the Department of Health could be a fantastic thing. It can free up GPs to actually do what they need to do. For example, gentlemen of your age and mine, Nick, can get our blood test results through the NHS app without having to phone up the surgery. That will actually free up GP staff for more face-to-face contact instead of some of the routine stuff they were doing. So I don't think there's a contradiction here. The important thing is get the help to where people are. They don't always have to come into the job centre. And I couldn't agree more with where you started the interview. Work is good for you if you can do it. I want to be the Secretary of State that helps as many people into work as possible.
And what a great goal for Labour to achieve. Well, I've got you on, Mr. McFadden. The Prime Minister, I imagine, will make comment about this later today in India, but a word from the British government as regards what we're hearing overnight with the supposed Trump peace plan.
Well, I think it's a very hopeful moment for the world, Nick, after all the death and devastation of the last 2 years. If this can hold, and the early signs this morning are very good and very positive, if this can hold, it will hopefully mean the release of all the hostages, dead or alive. It will mean the release of more humanitarian aid into Gaza, where people are living in the most desperate circumstances. But even more than those two things, Nick, I think for the first time in many years, we have the prospect of a more stable future for the Middle East with a plan that's backed internationally, including by the UK government, to get a proper long-term future in place and not just a ceasefire. And that's the most exciting prospect of all.
Staying with the Prime Minister, he, as you know, is in India, and speaking with journalists, he said, "I've asked the Home Secretary to look more broadly at what powers are available, how they're being used, and whether they should be changed. We need to go further in relation to some chants. We need to have a conversation with police forces about the way in which these events are being policed." Are you going to crack down on chanting?
Well, the Home Secretary spoke about this at the weekend, and what she was talking about is more powers for the police where there are repeat processes and considering the cumulative effect on them.
But she didn't mention chanting, Pat, did she?
I do have to say some of the things chanted on these demonstrations I think have been pretty irresponsible in the last couple of years. But I'm more hopeful this morning, Nick, that instead of having to deal with weekly demonstrations, we might actually be dealing with a proper peace process.
And amen to that, but I've got to press you again, Mr. McFadden. Could you get nicked for chanting?
Well, I don't know if you can get, you know, it's the police who will make that judgment, but I do think some of the things chanted on these demonstrations have been at best irresponsible, you know, and maybe worse than that. And look at what happened in Manchester just a week ago with that terrible attack on the synagogue.
Well, my final question is related to that, because your colleague Wes Streeting says he's determined to root out the evil. I've got a bad cough and cold, but I'm coming to work, Pat. I come to work. Frailty is not indulged, Mr. McFadden. You know that. Your colleague Mr. Streeting is determined to root out the evil of racism from the NHS. He's looking at anti-Semitic doctors, clinicians and others facing bans from treating patients. I would imagine that's something that you would support your colleague on.
Yeah, this is really important. Look, the National Health Service should treat people of all faiths and none based purely on their medical need. That's the principle of the NHS. And we don't want judgments being made about people because of their faith or their political beliefs or anything else. It's a health service, and that's what it should focus on.
Grateful for your time. Good luck with this initiative of the GPs and the job advisors working together, as outlined by Work and Pension Secretary Pat McFadden. Pat, sorry to have coughed in your face like that. 7:57 is the time, or 3 minutes before 8. This job advisors idea, then, what merit does it have? We will, I promise you, come back to events or the Trump or the Gaza peace deal, and we'll hear what the Prime Minister says. But let's get Rudy in Bristol, who's already called in on this job advisors scheme. What merit do you give it? Good morning. Rudy? No? Last chance, Rudy? Let's come back to the peace plan. Mark in Ongar. Mark, what is it about Donald Trump that seems to achieve a breakthrough? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Lifelong fan of yours. Really pleased to speak to you.
Oh, great.
That's right. Well, Donald Trump's a maverick in amongst the world of politicians, whereby they're boring, middle of the road. I mean, our very own Prime Minister couldn't even make a speech without referring to the hostages as sausages, if everyone remembers. So we've got mavericks in amongst his world with Donald Trump.
I do think that's incredible, because if you recall that speech last year, he said we would demand the return of the sausages. And he didn't correct himself. He said, we demand the return of the sausages and the hostages. So it's like he actually thought, he didn't say, sorry, hostages, so we still want the sausages. Extraordinary.
Exactly. And amongst all these other world leaders, such as Putin and Kim Jong-un, you've got a maverick there that they're equally fearful of. And our politicians over in the Western world aren't of that sort of calibre.
Right.
And our politicians are very toothless. Hence why I think they fear him and think, well, we better play ball with him at least. You know, he met Kim Jong-un the last time he was in the White House, you know. No other president or world leader has done that in recent times. You know, this man is unprecedented. I think that's why the likes of Nigel Farage will do really well going forward, because, yes, he's not on the same level as Donald Trump, but he is a maverick, and people like Keir Starmer do fear him.
Let me ask you this. You mentioned Starmer. A couple of other listeners have done this. Lastly, just compare and contrast Trump and Sir Keir Starmer. Mark?
Keir Starmer, beige, vanilla, boring. Donald Trump, all your best dreams and worst dreams in one.
Safe driving, Mark. Thank you for that. The music means we must move on. And coming up after news, we will, of course, stay with this biggest story of the day. It could be the biggest story of the century, certainly the biggest story of the year. And does it mean a certain president might heading towards a Nobel Peace Prize?
As calls intensify for Donald Trump to win the Nobel Peace Prize, I'm LBC's Henry Ridey looking back at previous winners and the controversy surrounding them.
I sense there would be more conversation about this announcement from Kemi Badenoch yesterday.
Conference, the next Conservative government will abolish stamp duty on your home. It'll be gone.
And we will return to that story, plus more on that idea that anti-Semitic medical staff could have their licenses suspended. Those stories and more after the 8 o'clock news on LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 8 o'clock, world leaders have welcomed the agreement of the first phase of Donald Trump's Gaza peace plan.
So great for Israel, so great for Muslims, for the Arab countries, and so great for this country, for the United States of America, and that we could be involved in, you know, making a deal like this happen.
The president told Fox News that the remaining Israeli hostages will be released very soon. They will be exchanged for Palestinian prisoners, with Israeli troops beginning their withdrawal from Gaza. The US says they will move to an agreed-upon line. LBC's Washington correspondent Simon Marks says many of the details remain unclear.
There's going to be a huge amount of interest in understanding where that line is physically being drawn. Is this in any sense going to be a full-scale Israeli military withdrawal? Because the devil in all of this is going to be in the details. And where those Israeli troops are being pulled back to will be critical. The Israelis also say they're going to allow hundreds of trucks of humanitarian assistance so urgently needed in Gaza to enter the territory every single day going forward.
The Israeli government will meet later today to approve the deal. It's been described by Sir Keir Starmer as a moment of profound relief. He has been speaking in India in the last few minutes.
I strongly welcome the news that a deal has been reached on the first stage of the peace plan in Gaza. This is a moment of profound relief.
In other news, vigils are planned to mark a week since the synagogue attack in Manchester. Ministers say the Day of Solidarity is an important opportunity to stand with the Jewish community. Police released an update last night revealing the attacker pledged allegiance to the Islamic State group in a 999 call. Job advisers are to be stationed in GP surgeries as part of efforts to get sick and disabled people into employment. The help on offer will include personalised coaching. There are currently more than 2.8 million people out of work because of long-term sickness. And five water firms have been given approval to raise bills by up to 5% more than previously agreed. They'd argued previous price controls meant they wouldn't be able to meet their regulatory requirements. In the city, the FTSE 100's reopening at 95.48. It closed up 65 yesterday. The pound buys $1.33 and a euro 15. LBC weather. Dry and bright with sunny spells across the south. Cloudier further north with some light patchy rain in Northern Ireland. A high of 19 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Thomas Watts.
Hey Sainsbury's, any way you can save me a few quid on my weekly shop?
Well, Jane, try Your Nectar Prices. Every week in Your Nectar app, you can unlock up to 10 personalised discounts on things you love at Sainsbury's. A Janesbury's, if you will.
Sounds like my kind of place.
Get personalised discounts with Your Nectar Prices. That's good food for all of us. Janesbury's. I mean Sainsbury's. 18 plus Nectar app required. Unlock up to 10 Your Nectar Prices weekly. Available in supermarkets, online and in locals with Smart Shop. T&Cs apply.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Good morning. 4 minutes after eight on Thursday, October the 9th, as global reaction pours into what appears to be that Gaza peace deal, we hear from the British Prime Minister.
The Prime Minister said news of a deal between Israel and Gaza is a moment of profound relief and a crucial first step to peace. I'm LBC's Natasha Clarke with all the UK reaction.
We'll also be looking at the mechanics of how you get the Nobel Peace Prize, as some quarters are saying President Trump should definitely be nominated for it. And what is it about the extraordinary makeup of this man? One moment he's...
You know what, we basically have two countries that have been fighting so long and so hard that they don't know what the f*** they're doing. Do you understand that?
And on the other...
This is a big day. We'll see how it all turns out. We have to get the final word down in concrete. Very importantly, I look forward to having the hostages come home to their parents.
But is it the very human dynamic that he brought to the negotiations that's inching it towards some kind of peace? And back in the UK, how anti-Semitic doctors and other NHS staff could have their licences suspended before tribunals under crackdown on what's called racism within the NHS. More on that later in this hour.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 60 60 973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
Now, as I've mentioned at least a couple of times in the previous hours, the Prime Minister is on a trip to India, accompanied by leading business men and women, vice-chancellors of universities, some sports people as well, a huge delegation, and it's already turning in billions of pounds worth of deals, which is fantastic. One can never forget, of course, the size and the growing size of the Indian economy and how crucial they are in our now post-Brexit days. But, of course, this means in the press conference he gave alongside his counterpart, Narendra Modi, he was also able to give comments as regards the supposed Gaza peace deal. This was in the last 10 minutes or so, is what the Prime Minister said.
Our cooperation goes much wider too. And so we've had the opportunity to discuss issues of vital importance to global stability and security, including the situation in the Middle East. I strongly welcome the news that a deal has been reached on the first stage of the peace plan in Gaza. This is a moment of profound relief that we felt around the world, but particularly for the hostages, their families, and for the civilian population of Gaza, who have all endured unimaginable suffering over the last 2 years. I'm grateful for the tireless diplomatic efforts of Egypt, Qatar, Turkey, United States and many others in securing this crucial first step. This agreement must now be implemented in full, without delay, and be accompanied by the immediate lifting of all restrictions on life-saving humanitarian aid to Gaza. The UK will support these crucial immediate steps and the next stages of the talks to ensure the full implementation of the peace plan.
I can only apologise for the audio quality. Obviously, we're not in any way involved in that, but that's like going back to the old days of the Second World War, trying to get an announcement out of Berlin. Why on earth they couldn't have fixed those microphones? But it was important, Keir speaking, within the last 15 minutes or so. We're going to hear from Patrick Winter, who, of course, is diplomatic editor for The Guardian, about the process of how someone gets put forward to or possibly wins the Nobel Peace Prize. Hear from Patrick in just a moment. It started in 1901. Since then, four US presidents have received the gong. President Trump was unsuccessfully nominated during his first term, but might he win it this time? Remember, he's claimed he's settled seven wars, one of which didn't even exist. But LBC's Henry Reilly looks back at controversial previous winners.
Will you get the Nobel Prize? Absolutely not. They'll give it to some guy that didn't do a damn thing. They'll give it to a guy that wrote a book about the mind of Donald Trump.
President Trump cannot stop talking about the Nobel Peace Prize. Reeling from being snubbed during his first term, he was nominated in both 2018 and 2020, but failed to win.
Somebody else, they would have gotten five Nobel Prizes. I never even got a mention, and I wouldn't. The fake news treats me much differently than they treat other people.
Frustrated, given a political foe won less than 9 months into their time in office.
He has done most for peace in the world the past year. It had to be US President Barack Obama.
The committee found that then-President Obama was a key proponent of nuclear non-proliferation.
Clear-eyed, we can understand that there will be war and still strive for peace. We can do that. For that is the story of human progress. And at this moment of challenge, that must be our work here on Earth.
He was the first U.S. president to serve 8 years with the U.S. at war continuously. Many of his allies felt the award was premature, including seemingly him.
I did get the Nobel Peace Prize.
Oh, really? What was that for?
To be honest, I still don't know.
Obama got a Nobel Peace Prize, and he didn't even do, he said, why did I get it? He had no idea. It was immediate as soon as he walked into office, practically.
He was one of four U.S. presidents to win the prize, but it was another former U.S. politician where eyebrows were raised.
The award will become irrelevant because peace will have become so normal and so much taken for granted that no awards for it will have to be given.
Dr. Henry Kissinger, the former U.S. Secretary of State, was awarded it in 1973 for his involvement in ending the Vietnam War.
The search for peace is never ended, and nothing could have given us a greater impetus to work with even more energy and more dedication to end the hostilities.
The award, though, saw two members of the committee resign in protest for the first time for Kissinger's involvement in causing the war to spill over to Cambodia and his sanctioning of bombing in Hanoi and accusations of being a war criminal. Other controversial winners include the award given in 1994 to the Palestinian leader Yasser Arafat.
This award, which is of ultimate significance and gesture, was not given to us to crown an endeavor that we have completed, but rather to encourage us to continue a road which we have started.
That award meant a committee member resigned in protest for the PLO's past involvement with terrorism, deeming him too tainted by violence. Controversial nominees but not winners include Benito Mussolini and two-time nominee Joseph Stalin. President Trump could become the fifth U.S. president to win the award. He's been nominated by Israel, Pakistan and Azerbaijan.
So the Nobel Peace Prize will be announced on Friday. You've been nominated by many world leaders.
By many, many countries.
By many countries as well as the hostage families. Do you think you will win?
I have no idea. I mean, look, I did settle seven wars. We're close to settling an eighth. I don't think anybody in history settled that many, but perhaps they'll find a reason not to give it to me.
President Trump concluding Henry Reilly's report. Patrick Winter is diplomatic editor for The Guardian. Can you talk us through the process, how exactly the nominations take place, how it is awarded, how it is decided? Morning, Patrick.
Good morning. Sure, the process is unfortunate for Donald Trump in the sense that the nominations closed in January, by which time he'd only been in office for about a month. Mm. So everything that's happened subsequently, whether you think he's actually solved six wars or seven and know the names of all of the countries he's managed to bring peace to, none of it is relevant for this year. So if they are strict, and they normally are strict about this, he shouldn't have much chance of winning. So all the nominations that have come in, including from Netanyahu, from the Pakistan government, they would apply to next year, not to this year. I think there's something like 338 to nominations. Anyone can nominate, but I would be really surprised if he wins this year. But I now actually genuinely think he's a serious contender for next year. And what's driven all that animus and resentment that you very eloquently portrayed in your package there is the fact that Obama won it, and he won it very early on in his presidency, largely for making a speech in Cairo about the need for America to have a new approach to the Muslim world. And as Obama himself said at the time, America was still involved in two wars when he won that nomination.
Fantastic background. Can't let you go, Patrick, because you'll have had a couple of hours, or maybe, I don't know when you heard the news, but certainly you will have been able to digest and have a think about it. Your reaction to what appears to be achieved overnight?
Well, I think it's... what I would do is say, go back to what happened in August, which was the moment when Trump was persuaded that you can't just have a ceasefire hostage swap deal. We need to have a deal that has a perspective in the future, and this thing called the day after, what happens in Gaza thereafter. And I think that is what might, some people might think that would complicate it because there's more to negotiate, but I think it gave it a possibility for Hamas and other Palestinians to think about what Gaza would be like afterwards, and that gave them an incentive to reach this deal. Obviously, exhaustion plays a large part as well, and the fact that so many people have died. But the perspective forward is a really important part of this deal.
You're going to be a busy man today, I'm sure. Pieces in The Guardian tomorrow, and of course online before that, before the publication. Patrick Winter, diplomatic editor for The Guardian. Now, did you, like me, listen carefully to the Prime Minister and were puzzled by one particular word?
I'm grateful for the tireless diplomatic efforts of Egypt, Qatar, Turkey, United States and many others in securing this crucial first step.
Did you know that's how we're now meant to pronounce Turkey? Turkia? Is there anything that shows how detached he is from the average working man or woman that in a press conference he decides to call it Turkia? I mean, it's been Turkey. We've always said Turkey. Is the word Turkey now offensive? What an extraordinary thing. It's all right for the President of the United States to call it Turkey, but the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom has to say Turkia. Out of touch, doesn't get near it, does it? 8:15 LBC News Headlines, Thomas Watts.
Israel and Hamas have agreed to the first phase of Donald Trump's peace plan for Gaza. The Prime Minister's called it a moment of profound relief. A ceasefire is expected to begin later today, with Israeli troops beginning their withdrawal from Gaza. LBC weather, dry and bright with sunny spells in the south, cloudier further north, a high of 19 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Long delays on the A2 westbound up to Gravesend at Pepper Hill. There's been an accident and there are queues of about 4 miles on the approach. Also slow on the A3 northbound up to the Hook Junction because of an accident. Those delays now back past Esher Common. In Hampton Court, some emergency repair works are having to take place on the Hampton Court Road and that's causing lengthy delays. On the Underground, the Victoria line's running but with severe delays. Also minor delays on the Piccadilly line between Acton Town and Uxbridge, and Southwestern Railway services are delayed between Waterloo and Wimbledon. It was after a train broke down earlier at Earlsfield.
This is LBC.
Now, focus on your car. That's right, the one you're ready to sell. See it clearly in your mind, waiting to be sold. We can make it disappear. Just watch carefully. Your car sold, collected and paid for in almost no time at all. It's not magic, it's Motorway. Sell your car today at motorway.co.uk.
Nick Ferrari now, 0345 6060 973. This is LBC.
Someone in the UK has got that Euro Millions feeling because they have won the incredible £26 million Euro Millions jackpot. I reckon they've had a bit of a dance. All around the house, then out the door, down the path and into the street. For all we know, they're probably still dancing. Go on, guys. Get that Euro Millions feeling. Euro Millions from the National Lottery. Rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
Your daily life often goes like this. With Air France, choose instead.
Wow.
until the 21st of October. Put your daily life on hold. Take advantage of Air France Moments and book your flight to Beijing from £499 flying from London Heathrow via Paris. Return including tax. Elegance is a journey. Air France. To book and for terms and conditions, visit airfrance.co.uk.
With the long, hot summer still fresh in the memory, it's easy to forget what's around the corner. Prepare your BMW for whatever the great British weather can muster with a BMW seasonal inspection. For just £39.99, our expert technicians will top up fluids and oil, check the essentials like tyres, wipers and battery, and return your BMW washed, vacuumed and winter ready. Search BMW seasonal inspection. T's and C's apply.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
Karen, I'm going to be talking to you in a moment about the peace plan, but Suz in Manchester has called in about the Prime Minister using the word Turkey rather than Turkey. Suz, what do you want to say to that? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Hope you're well. Yes. Yeah, I think it was just a light point. I think the Prime Minister's speech gets given to him by certain advisers.
Yeah.
And I think an historic speech like that, they would have told him, listen, you have to pronounce Turkey in this particular manner because that's the way the Turkish people or their people
but,
want to be pronounced.
So if he was referring to our friends in Berlin, would he say Deutschland? No.
No, but that depends if the Germans asked him to say Deutschland in such an historic a speech.
It's well, what happened Turkey was all right for President Trump. And then no one's suggesting that he's made a diplomatic gaffe.
Yeah, but... Come on, Nick. President Trump's an idiot.
Well, he might just have brought the hostages home and prisoner release and whatever
else. Well, his advisors have, yeah.
But, no, it's the dynamic of the man, isn't it?
No, I appreciate that. He's obviously told him what to do, what he wants. But regardless of what he says, we shouldn't go to his level because he doesn't know what he's doing, does he?
Do you not think he...
It's the British Prime Minister. Like he's meant to set the standard, the highest standard possible.
Yeah.
And their name's Takiya. And his advisors and the Turkish advisors says, "We would like."
Do you see my point? In fact, interestingly enough, my next caller is in Spain. So should I actually say that she's in España? Because
no, it depends how they want to be treated, how they want to be acknowledged. That's what counts, doesn't it? No, in a diplomatic like speech like that.
This call will be recorded.
What on earth happened there?
But this call is no longer being recorded.
Whoa, it is the Kremlin. What is going on, Suz? What is happening up there?
My apologies.
Don't worry, mate. Don't worry. Thanks for your input, Suz. I'll let you crack on. And if you've recorded it, well done. Keep it for posterity. Karen is in España, in Estepona. Hello. Tell me about your reaction to what Donald Trump might have achieved.
Hi, Nick. First of all, I'm laughing at the last caller. Secondly, I just want to thank you so much for your coverage in the last 2 years.
Oh.
And also to Sheila Fogarty. I think the two of you have been fantastic.
Oh, okay, I'll make sure she hears that. Thank you.
Thank you.
What do you take from the overnight news?
Well, I'm an hour ahead of England,
yep.
So I went to bed last night, I don't know, 3:30, 3:45. I'm so happy.
Right.
And as I explained to your producer, you know, it's very difficult to explain how, as a Jewish person, I feel right now. There are people around the world, obviously, are happy that there's the prospect of peace in the region, and that, of course, I understand that. But as a Jewish person, none of us have literally been able to breathe for the past 2 years. Mm. I say literally, of course, I've been breathing, but
I know. You've been holding your breath, is what you mean.
For the past 2 years, and we will still hold our breath until every last hostage is home. It's very difficult to encapsulate that, but I've just listened to, Rachel Goldberg Polin, whose son Hirsch was assassinated in the tunnels along with five others, and she is just the epitome of how we all feel, even though that her own son isn't going to be coming home.
Yes.
It's the sheer relief that there
will be... As Reuters are suggesting, the hostages could be freed as early as Saturday. When you hear that or when you watch it on the TV, what will be going through your heart, Karen?
I think it's the same as every other hostage release Saturday, where I tuned in to probably as many Israeli stations, channels, so I could watch those people come home. We had to go through the whole charade of the staging and the...
Oh, please God, we don't do that again.
I think that's part of the agreement, actually, that they will not do that this time.
Right.
I do hope not, because it was so humiliating and so upsetting. And the reaction, not my reaction or people in my community and most normal people, but the non-reaction, I think, of a lot of people around the world, thinking this was somehow normal. I will cry. I know I will cry. I cried when I heard the news. I feel like I could cry right now.
Right.
I just want to tell your listeners that as even though Gaza has been devastated, razed to the ground, if you like, in 70-80%, this is not something that Israel was looking to do. This was not some greater plan.
Well, obviously, a lot of people say it moved from a position of defence to offence, but if we are now moving towards that settlement, let's celebrate that. Karen, thank you for your kind words about the show. Enjoy today, hopefully, as more positive news plays out. And let's stay with Karen again. Thank you. Let's stay with that theme and see how it's playing out on the UK political scene. LBC's political editor, Natasha Clark, in the studio with me now. Right, what are we hearing, Natasha?
Good morning, Nick. Yes, the Prime Minister has welcomed the news of the first phase of this peace deal between Israel and Gaza. He said it's a moment of profound relief, a crucial first step to peace. This deal, we hear, will see hostages from Israel released alongside political Palestinian prisoners as early as this weekend. And, of course, as you've been just discussing, a ceasefire too. Sir Keir is on a trip at the moment to India. He has said this is a moment of profound relief.
I strongly welcome the news that a deal has been reached on the first stage of the peace plan in Gaza. This is a moment of profound relief that we felt around the world, but particularly for the hostages, their families, and for the civilian population of Gaza, who have all endured unimaginable suffering over the last 2 years.
Interestingly, Nick, he called it President Trump's peace plan for Gaza. We know how keen he has been to keep him on all sides in his relationships. The Prime Minister, of course, has just been saying, thanking the diplomatic efforts of countries around the world for helping secure that first step. He then called on all parties to implement this deal without delay.
This agreement must now be implemented in full, without delay, and be accompanied by the immediate lifting of all restrictions on life-saving humanitarian aid to Gaza. The UK will support these crucial immediate steps and the next stages of the talks to ensure the full implementation of the peace plan.
And Nick, in the last hour, you've been speaking to Sir Keir's right-hand man, Pat McFadden. He said the government is very hopeful about this deal.
Well, I think it's a very hopeful moment for the world, Nick. After all the death and devastation of the last 2 years, if this can hold, and the early signs this morning are very good and very positive, if this can hold, it will hopefully mean the release of all the hostages, dead or alive. It will mean the release of more humanitarian aid into Gaza, where people are living in the most desperate circumstances. I think for the first time in many years, we have the prospect of a more stable future for the Middle East.
But the question, does he back giving Donald Trump the peace prizes he so desperately wants? Mr. McFadden says he does deserve credit, but it's not up to him to decide. You also spoke earlier, Nick, with Adam Rose, a lawyer who represents some of the families of some of those hostages. He said they can't get too excited just yet.
The families have been very strong and held on to that hope that their family member and indeed all the hostages will be released until people are back, until Yossi Shirabi is back with his family for burial, until Avi Natan is back with his mum, with his girlfriend. You hold on to hope, but you mustn't get overexcited. Once dealing with terrorists, Hamas cannot be trusted to carry this out. We've seen before failures in deals where people were expecting to come out and they didn't come out. Hold on to hope, but don't get excited yet.
We've also got reaction in from the Reform Party leader, Nigel Farage, saying on social media, huge congratulations to President Trump and his team. Real progress between Israel and Hamas is a great achievement. So not quite peace in our time just yet. We've also just in the last few minutes heard from Sered Davy, the leader of the Lib Dems. News of a ceasefire deal in Gaza brings real hope. He's not mentioned President Trump in his message, as you can expect, but says this must be the first step towards a two-state solution and a lasting peace. So the people I'm speaking to, Nick, at the heart of government, cautious optimism that this is a big step forward today.
LBC's political editor Natasha Clark reporting. Now, it's taken a while, but the Trump derangement syndrome, TDS, has woken up. James in Folkestone, as usual, your thinking is shallow. Trump is a criminal, a liar, a thug. No respect for law or conventions. 70,000 people, mostly women and children, have been killed in Gaza. Don't know where you get mostly women and children. I think you meant including. Trump has supported that thug Netanyahu all the way. A Nobel Prize for this madman would be a travesty. Vic is also suffering with Trump derangement syndrome. Trump is only out for himself. Stop bigging him up. There's no way we need Trumpism in our country. Just need to look at what is going on in the US. He is a wannabe dictator. Ash in Chadwell Heath. Where do you stand on this? Ash, you're on the radio. Good morning.
Hi, Nick. How you doing?
Good, thanks, thank you.
Taking my call. It's wonderful news. It really is wonderful news that the hostages are being returned. And they should have been returned a lot earlier.
Yeah.
Okay, that's horrendous what they've gone through.
Indeed.
My next thing is there's never any mentions about the Palestinian prisoners, including the women and children. Now, in the actual peace deal...
Right, I believe 2,000 are going to be... I think 2,000 are going to be released, is my understanding.
100%. 100%. Yeah. And that's great news, but...
Yeah.
The thing is, after that 2,000 has been returned, there's 10,000 more. What happens to them? Because the international community doesn't even talk about them. Now, some of them, rightfully so, they should have been in there.
Yep.
They quoted some.
But my understanding is, in some instances, there are children, actually, who are being held. Is my understanding. I might be wrong. I don't know.
It's in the peace deal. It actually mentions in the peace deal women and children.
Right.
A lot of them have been held without charge. So it's one of those things where you've got to say, look, everyone is human. Everyone's valuable. It doesn't matter whether you're Israeli, Palestinian, anyone.
Yeah.
So I hope once these hostages have been returned, the Palestinian lives are looked into, because some of the things that they have to go through, as much as the Israeli government deny it, they do go through horrendous things. When we see the hostages come out, hopefully they don't go through that disgusting show. And we're going to see them in a really bad state. They're going to be emaciated. They're going to be really hungry, starved.
Which ones? The Israelis?
The hostages. The hostages. We're going to see them. And it's going to pull on and make people feel so disgusted. But similarly, we're never going to see the pictures of the Palestinians that are being released, the 2,000 Palestinians.
Why not?
We won't. We won't see it in the media. We'll just see.
But they can be published by Hamas if they want to?
Why does it have to be published by Hamas? Why can't it be seen by anyone else?
Well, I don't know. Do they do it in public? I don't know, Ash.
The last time it was done, during the last hostage deals, Israel literally told, no pictures were allowed to be taken of those Palestinian.
We'll have to wait and see. With 2,000 people, I would suggest it's going to be difficult necessarily to keep that under wraps, but... That's an interesting one. Ash, it's a good point you make. Thank you. It's something we need to look at. We're coming back to stories at home as well after the news. I'm going to read you a headline from one of the newspapers, The Times, 2 days ago. Here's the headline. Jewish patients at risk from racist NHS doctors. Imagine if you substituted the word black for Jewish, or Welsh, or whatever else. Jewish patients at risk from racist NHS doctors. The health secretary has acted on this and knew... Regulations could be on the way, and we'll discuss them in more detail after the 8:31 news here on LBC. You're listening to Breakfast with me, Nick Ferrari. Headlines, Thomas Watts.
Israel and Hamas have signed up to the first phase of President Trump's plan to end the fighting in Gaza. A ceasefire is expected to take effect later today, followed by the release of the living Israeli hostages as soon as this weekend. They will be exchanged for Palestinian prisoners held in Israel. It'll also mark the start of the withdrawal of Israeli troops to an unspecified, agreed-upon line. And employment advisers are to be stationed in GP surgeries as part of efforts to get sick and disabled people back into work. There are currently more than 2.8 million people signed off with long-term illness. LBC weather, dry and bright with sunny spells across southern areas, cloudier further north with some light and patchy rain in Northern Ireland. A high of 19 degrees.
on the latest episode of The News Agents.
We discuss Kemi Badenoch's Conservative Conference leadership speech. Has she done enough to silence her critics? You can listen now on our free Global Player app.
Get the latest episode of The News Agents with Emily Maiklis, John Sopel and Lewis Goodall. Listen or watch on our free Global Player app or the new LBC app.
Play Set for Life from the National Lottery. Winners get 10K every month for 30 years. You could win on repeat. Set for Life. Play now on the National Lottery app. Terms, rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
Bring your pensions together into one easy-to-manage online plan with PensionBee. Because when your pension is in a good place, you're in a good place. When investing, your capital is at risk.
They did it again. Flour instead of flowers. On my birthday. And 95 minutes late. But it's hard to leave when you've shared so much. Your postcode. Your gluten intolerance. Then I saw it. 25% off your first Ocado shop. Plus, free delivery. And I just knew I'd found the online supermarket of my dreams. Ocado. Life delivered. Geographical restrictions. Min spend £60 and charges apply. Max saving £20. New customers only. Terms at Ocado.com.
When they're away at uni and the show you all love is on telly. When you're miles apart but still laughing at the same joke. When the emojis come thick and fast.
Ah, triple smiley face and a heart.
I knew they'd love that.
Nothing brings us together like great TV. Make sure your child has a TV license when they go to uni, so they're covered to watch all TV channels and you can still enjoy all those TV moments in the family group chat.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
It's 8:34. We'll talk more about the peace plan, but let's come to stories here at home in the UK. And I read you a headline 2 days ago, and we were going to do this story, but what broke? And I can't remember anyway. It all got very busy for some reason. But we knew it was a story to which we must return. And funnily enough, we worked on it yesterday, and now we hear what Wes Streeting was working on yesterday. Let me take you back, then, to this really troubling headline. Jewish patients at risk from racist NHS doctors. Wes Streeting said medical institutions are failing to protect Jewish patients. And it's just struck me, if you saw that headline, black patients at risk, or Chinese patients at risk, or Welsh patients at risk, you go absolutely crazy. And there have been concerning reports concerning certain members of the medical staff. Dr. Manoj Sen, a surgeon, and I apologise for this, once described a Jewish man as circumcised vermin. Dr. Rama Aldawan celebrated the October 7 attacks. She's to face a tribunal. And the CST, Community Security Trust, an organisation that looks after the Jewish community, and for full disclosure, I will tell you that I serve on one of the boards there, has recorded no fewer than 99 incidents in the last 18 months in the healthcare sector. 92 incidents as abusive behaviour, 5 threats, 1 indecent incident of damage, I'm sorry, and desecration, and 1 assault. 56 of these incidents were perpetrated by healthcare professionals. 56 by healthcare professionals. This report also is accompanied by some photographic evidence, one of which shows a soap dispenser in a hospital bathroom that has had the swastika drawn on it in, I would say, felt-tip pen, but I can't vouch for that. So that is the sort of problem that we have. Now, I discussed this with Pat McFadden, and this is after anti-Semitic doctors could face immediate bans from treating patients. The Health Secretary, Wes Streeting, saying, under a plan to root out the evil of racism, he's set to update legislation. Doctors accused of misconduct are stripped of their right to practice while under investigation. Currently, no one has the power to suspend doctors until their case has been heard at a tribunal. Streeting says he wants to overhaul the medical regulator, the General Medical Council, to make it easy, his language now, by the way, to make it easier to kick racists out of the NHS. Danny Stone, Chief Executive of the Anti-Semitism Policy Trust, released a report last month concerning this and joins me now. What did your report say? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick, and thank you for having me on. The report made clear that there has been an emergent phenomenon, particularly post the 7th of October attacks, whereby we have seen anti-Semitism run wild across healthcare, both in the UK and across the world. But to take the UK as an example, you've just pointed out some of the statistics. you know, 100 incidents over 18 months. That was just those that were reported to the CST. The Jewish Medical Association said it had had 100 cases that it was dealing with, a 15 times increase in reports to the General Medical Council. But we also tried to look at the various other aspects of the health service where there have been issues, whether it be medical journals, medical schools. You know, I was surrounded at one medical school and harangued after running some training.
Sorry, because of your faith, just to clarify, Mr. Stone.
No, because of things that they'd said. They were unhappy with things that I had said during the training, and so surrounded me and harangued me. You know, literally across the health sector, the BMA, there's been issues with cases that have been slow to be resolved, of Jewish people feeling uncomfortable at their conference. And so the report tried to give the breadth and scale of this and to point to some of the things that might be done.
How much of a fear is there with Jewish people if they have to report to a surgery or to a hospital that they could face discrimination? How real is that fear?
Well, to give you a couple of examples, there I know of a case of a Jewish man who had eaten kosher food all his life. That is, you know, food that had been prepared in relation to Jewish dietary laws, and he did not opt to have kosher food in hospital because for the fear of being known to be Jewish. I know people who have refused visits from the chaplains, Jewish chaplains in hospital, because they are fearful that it will be clear that they're Jewish and then they will be targeted in some way.
How supportive are you of what Wes Streeting is saying he wants to bring about?
I'm very supportive. I'm very pleased with what Wes Streeting is proposing. So we have had
My only concern is we do have a principle here, of course, innocent until proven guilty. If I am accused of anti-Semitic and I'm a surgeon, I'm actually suspended before the tribunal. Does that not go a little bit against English law?
I do think there needs to be some degree of a public interest test. But if you look at a couple of the cases here, you've got one doctor who talked about being free from Jewish supremacy, the UK needing to be free from Jewish supremacy. You also had another doctor who it turned out was the head of Hizbut Tahrir in the UK, a now proscribed terrorist organisation. It cannot be the case that those people are allowed just to continue practicing with no impediment to their practice. That is a threat to the public, to Jewish people. So I do think that we need to look at what the current state of regulation is and review it. The GMC and this MPTS, these two regulators, tend to pass people back between one another. The cases take too long to investigate, and so the health secretary's right that it needs review, so I'm very supportive of what he's proposing.
Grateful for your time, Danny Stone. You're chief executive of the Anti-Semitism Policy Trust. You released that report last month, and it was something about an hour or so ago that I put directly to Work and Pension Secretary Pat McFadden.
Yeah, this is really important. Look, the National Health Service should treat people of all faiths and none based purely on their medical need. That's the principle of the NHS. And we don't want judgments being made about people because of their faith or their political beliefs or anything else. It's a health service, and that's what it should focus on.
Well, of course it should. Jenny's in Barnet on this. Jenny, what's the point you want to make? Good morning to you.
Good morning, Nick. Hi. Hello. I just wanted to make two points. One, I just wanted to make sure that someone said this on air. You made the comment about what if it was black people.
Yes, or Chinese or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, but the thing is, I don't think we don't need these kind of comparisons simply because we already know that black women are more likely to die in childbirth, and there's all these different reports about how.
Yeah, but that's I mean, that is appalling. But that's That's not because of warped views of medical staff. That is an appalling statistic, of course.
The statistic exists because of biases and beliefs about black women, their pain, not listening to them. The outcome is very scary, and I'm sure this is also not a good thing. Right. I'm just saying I think it's not helpful when we compare. It gets people's backs up when they hear that, and they think, okay, well, there's already issues in the NHS and in healthcare. We don't need to compare different groups. But I also wanted to say, Will this apply across the board? So any racist comment, any unacceptable comment, will that mean that that individual as a doctor or a healthcare professional is struck off straight away? And what would the impact then be on the NHS?
No, so what it would mean, no, they wouldn't, they would, obviously it would have to go to investigation, but what would happen is, let's use me as an example, someone says that I made an anti-Semitic comment or I behaved in an anti-Semitic fashion, and I'm a surgeon, or I'm a doctor, that's easy. Dr. Ferrari then would be suspended instantly, and I would not be able to practice again unless I was cleared. Whereas currently Dr. Ferrari can still practice until the tribunal is. That is the key change, Jenny.
Okay, but isn't the whole point of a tribunal is to determine wrongdoing?
Yes, that's my one worry here, because in English law, as I said to my contributor, we have the principle of innocent until proven guilty, and that does appear to be reversed in this instance.
Yeah, it absolutely does. The whole point of a tribunal is to determine wrongdoing.
Yeah.
If we decide that, okay, this is the person, we don't like what they've said.
Yep.
Then we don't need a tribunal then.
No, but then equally we don't want a surgeon describing a Jewish man as circumcised vermin.
Of course we don't. I don't agree with any of those comments.
No.
But I also want to say, is this going to apply to all forms of racism? Or is this specifically about anti-Semitism in the NHS?
We'll have to see how it's literally only started yesterday. So we have to see how it develops. Jenny, thank you for making that important point. About how black women are treated. There is, I think, a point of distinction in that you don't have surgeons knowingly making vile comments about black people or black women, or in the case of one doctor, allegedly celebrating the October 7 attack by filming throat slit gestures at Jewish people. Let's come back to the biggest story of the day, possibly the biggest story of the year, if it brings about peace, the story of the century, probably. Tom's in Maidstone. What do we say to what appears to be Trump's success overnight? Good morning.
Morning, Nick. Good morning. Nick, I'm over the moon and I'm delighted with this deal, and I hope it will bring an end to the bloodshed and bring
Absolutely.
The hostages home.
As
an Israeli, though, living in England for a very long time, I do want to point out, though, my eyes are on US colleges. My eyes are on the streets of London. All the people that for the last 2 years have been shouting globalized intifada from the river to the sea, where do they stand now? Because Israel is still whole. It's not going to be from the river to the sea. What's going to happen now?
Do you think the demos will take place this Saturday?
I have a feeling they will, because I can't see them stop just yet, but I'm not quite sure what the process will be. Will they all of a sudden turn to celebrations and joy? And what will then the situation? I think I remember you saying yesterday to your father that his daughter was looking at an escape route
from a London university. Shocking.
That was
Charles's daughter. Obviously, well, didn't ask the girl's
I just
name.
Can't imagine things changing overnight in people's perception.
I think you might be right. Tom, let's see how it plays out. Remember, as you will know, Tom, the key is this wording here we are from Donald Trump. Israel will withdraw its troops to an agreed-upon line. That is the devil in the detail. Tom, have yourself a good day. You might remember, earlier in the week, I spoke with the Conservative leader, Kevin Badenoch, and there was this exchange. You're losing councillors, you're losing support, you're losing members, and you want more time. You are the Rubin Amorim of politics, Mr. Badenoch.
That is certainly not the case. What we are doing is shedding a lot of the baggage of the last 14 years.
So we decided to send LBC's Chris Chambers to speak with Manchester United fans at Old Trafford.
Who? Hey? A what knock?
Kemi Badenoch, have you heard of it?
No.
It's the leader of the Conservative Party. Who do you think will last longer in their job, Badenoch or Amorim?
Hopefully Amorim.
Full report follows this. 8:46 LBC News headlines. Thomas Watts.
The first phase of a peace plan for Gaza has been agreed by Israel and Hamas. A ceasefire is expected to begin later before an exchange of Israeli hostages and Palestinian prisoners in the coming days. Sir Keir Starmer's called it a profound relief. LBC weather, dry and bright with sunny spells across the south, cloudier further north, a high of 19 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Severe delays on the A2 westbound from the M25 to Bexley after an accident. There are delays on that stretch of at least half an hour, and as a result, it is extremely busy on the surrounding routes. Also, delays continue in Penge. The High Street stays closed both ways. And the A3 in Hook, northbound, very busy after an accident. Those delays back to Esher Common, and it means that southbound traffic, even though that side's all open, is busy from Tolworth. And surrounding routes, especially the A243 and the A240 at Tolworth, are hardly moving at all. On the Underground, there are severe delays on the Victoria line and minor delays on the Piccadilly line.
The LBC app. News your way. This is LBC.
Have you seen the all-new iPhone 17 Pro? Designed from the inside out, it's the most powerful iPhone yet, with the ultimate pro camera system. What's more, at Vodafone, you can get the new iPhone now and every year with Vodafone Exchange. Go online or in-store today. Vodafone.
Credit check and terms apply. Trade in iPhone 17 series in good condition 12 months before phone plan ends and upgrade. Every year based on 24-month plan. See vodafone.co.uk/exchange.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060 973. LBC.
The Toyota CHR. Striking design. Trusted hybrid technology. Choose self-charging or plug-in hybrid. With Toyota know-how, reliability is built in. Now available at 0% APR representative over 24 months. And right now, enjoy an extra £1,500 off. Ready to go with confidence? Visit your nearest Toyota centre. Available on PCP when financed through Toyota Financial Services by December 15th. Optional final payment. Indemnities may be required. See website conditions apply.
At TfL, we're helping to make bus journeys greener. Our entire bus fleet is 100% low or zero emission at the tailpipe, including those for our Superloop routes, helping improve air quality for all. And we'll have a fully zero emission fleet by 2034. That is how we're making the greener way to travel brighter for everyone. Search TfL Improvement Plan. To the Mayor of London and TfL, every journey matters. Greener than total estimated petrol and diesel car emissions.
They did it again. Flour instead of flowers. On my birthday. I'm 95 minutes late. But it's hard to leave when you've shared so much. Your postcode. Your gluten intolerance. Then I saw it. 25% off your first Ocado shop. Plus, free delivery. And I just knew I'd found the online supermarket of my dreams. Ocado. Life delivered. Geographical restrictions. Min spend £60 and charges apply. Max saving £20. New customers only. Terms at ocado.com.
Experience. It's knowing the difference between a good deal and, well, a great deal. Right now, get 3 months free when you take out Saga Health Insurance. You get 24/7 GP access whenever you want it. And the freedom to choose your preferred private hospital with your own room should you need it. Search Saga Health Insurance for a quote today. New customers starting a policy before the 27th of November. Pay by monthly direct debit for the first year. Terms and conditions apply. Over 50s only.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
10 to 9, Claire in Manchester, looking forward to discussing this anti-Semitism initiative with you. But if you're in Manchester, hopefully you'll have some interest in this next brief report, because you might recall when I spoke with the Conservative Party leader who's in your city, Kemi Badenoch, Claire, I put it to her that she was starting to resemble one failing football manager. That would be Manchester United's Ruben Amorim. The clip of the interview gained a lot of traction online, particularly among Manchester United fans. So we decided Chambo, LBC's Chris Chambers, needed to get to Old Trafford to find out what Red Devil supporters make of hers and his respective futures.
Lots of energy, positivity and promises of change as Kemi Badenoch took the stage for her speech. But is she living on borrowed time?
Nothing good comes quickly or fast. It will pay off. It's not about being the first to announce a policy. It's about having the best policy.
I'm at Old Trafford, a couple of miles across town from where the Tory party conference was being held and where the Manchester United manager Ruben Amorim has been trotting out similar kinds of things.
I have a lot of problems. My job is so hard.
I was elected to do exactly what I am doing now.
I'm not going to change. When I want to change my philosophy, I will change.
I said I wanted to do politics differently. That's why I won the leadership contest.
We will try to do it our way, in my way. Call me naive.
There may have been a small political price to pay in the polls. It will pay off eventually.
Both under pressure, managing a team that keeps on losing. So Nick, put this to the Conservative leader.
You're losing councillors, you're losing support, you're losing members, and you want more time. You are the Ruben Amorim of politics, Mrs. Badenoch.
That is certainly not the case. What we are doing is shedding a lot of the baggage of the last 14 years. I remember last year, we had people defecting to Labour because Labour was doing well in the polls. Now we have people defecting to Reform because Reform is doing well in the polls.
I've had a little wander around Old Trafford to see who the fans think will stick around longer. Have you ever heard of Kemi Badenoch?
Who? A what knock?
Kemi Badenoch, have you heard of it?
No.
It's the leader of the Conservative Party. Who do you think will last longer in their job, Badenoch or Amorim?
hopefully Amorim.
Who do we think will go first, Ruben Amorim or Kemi Badenoch?
Kemi. I believe in Amorim to stay.
Football and politics are both ruthless, but I think Amorim's got a better future at the moment than the Conservative leader.
I don't think it looks good for them at the moment.
Who keeps their job longer, Kemi Badenoch or Ruben Amorim? What do you reckon?
Kemi, whatever his surname is. Kemi Badenoch.
Are you familiar with her?
A little bit. I know she can't spell Britain, but I think the country's in a bit of a dire state. Yeah. But Man United is as well.
Good work from Chambers there. Chris Chambers at Old Trafford, the home of Manchester United. We stay in Manchester. Claire is there, and I understand you've got concerns about this West Streeting. It's not a law, initiative, let's call it, the West Streeting Initiative. Good morning.
Morning. Yes, I do. That's
tell me why.
Why I decided to call in. I haven't heard the details. I've been on long clinical shifts over the last few days.
Well, they're still being worked out, Claire. They're still being worked out, so please, you know, you've not missed a lot. Don't worry. Yeah.
So my concern is exactly what you've said, which is innocent until proven guilty. And these tribunals currently can take months, years to come to fruition. And so you're...
Are you a doctor or a surgeon or a nurse? What is it that you do?
So I'm a doctor.
You're a doctor.
In a hospital. Right. And I think that you will potentially ruin lives of potentially innocent people. That being said, I've been subject to horrific anti-Semitism, both myself and my family.
You're a Jewish woman, obviously, are you? Is that
yeah, right. Sorry, I'm Jewish myself. Right, from healthcare professionals.
Seriously?
So I've from people that I know and also from those that I don't on medic groups online that I'm a member of.
Do you are you outwardly Jewish? That is to say, do you wear a Star of David or whatever it might be?
I don't wear any jewellery because I work in the hospital.
Of course,
but my colleagues know that. Not at all. Yeah. My colleagues know that I'm Jewish. I am proud to be Jewish, and I live in a very Jewish lifestyle in that I keep kosher. And so when we're, you know, eating lunch,
so you keep Friday night as well and everything such as that. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. What, and obviously this is live, so I know I can rely on you not to say any foul language. What has been said to you, or in what way have you been treated, Claire?
I've been told that I'm a baby killer. I've been told that I support genocide. I didn't make any comments about Israel, because being Jewish and being Israeli are completely different
things. Absolutely,
Because I feel that there's more nuance to the subject than just one side being entirely right and one side being entirely wrong.
I mean, isn't
then
it incredible?
I was called a baby killer.
So my belief is that in a lot of instances, this foul discrimination or anti-Semitism or hatred towards black people or Muslims is because people aren't educated. To proceed in your profession, you have to be pretty well educated. So for colleagues to treat you in this fashion, I find absolutely both astonishing and abhorrent.
Yeah. It's really hurtful, and I have to say it is really scary. Now, the trust in which I work, which I won't name, have been excellent. Their response to these situations have been excellent. But the fact they've had to make a response, I find really concerning. And the fact that some of my colleagues who have been anti-Semitic don't even think they are being. There's this, well, we can't be racist towards you because you're a white middle-class woman, it doesn't count.
So come on, you're a very bright woman. How are we going to police this? Because you can't have surgeons, and by the way, this man has been struck off, Dr. Manoj Sen describing a Jewish man as circumcised vermin, reportedly another doctor making slit-throat gestures at Jewish people on October the 7th demos. We can't have that going on, but also we can't have someone automatically suspended and found guilty before a tribunal. So where's the middle ground, Claire? How are we going to solve this?
So I think what needs to happen is we need to create significant efficiencies and streamline the tribunal process to ensure that from time of accusation to time of tribunal, we're talking, a matter of a couple of months, not years. And I think that it is really important because Jewish people are feeling very, very scared and very vulnerable at the moment. Quite rightly so, because the level of anti-Semitism and the number of actual anti-Semitic physical attacks are huge. Our poor students at universities are scared to go out and looking for escape routes.
Yeah.
And I think that any form of racism is completely unacceptable. As healthcare professionals, we have to be completely apolitical at work so that we support and care openly to any individual who walks through the door, whether they are an operative of Hamas, whether they're a Russian delegate, whoever they may be, my job is to keep them healthy and make them feel safe. And if I do anything that takes that away, then I'm not doing my job as a doctor. So I really think that these individuals should be disgusted with themselves and should not be permitted to practice medicine. I absolutely detest medical professionals who cannot remain, who cannot maintain their integrity when it comes to the people that they serve.
Claire, thank you for all your comments and thank you for the job you do. And I'm sorry that you're having to go through that sort of treatment. It's absolutely wrong. And I know you put in a lot of shifts, so I hope you get some rest. Claire, thank you. Let's go to the social media and the texts that are coming in on this. Sorry, excuse me. I think we're definitely getting to the end of it. Michael Zenon says, employment law is totally different to criminal law. To suspend someone upon an allegation on full pay while an investigation takes place is normal practice. Under HR laws, you have to decide if the allegation is a risk to the business, and that's the basis of the decision to suspend or keep at work, sometimes with restrictions, while an investigation takes place. Catherine's in Muswell Hill. Catherine, your view on this? Well, it's not a change, it's a proposed, that's it, a proposed change. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm sorry, I haven't caught the whole story, but I've caught bits and bobs of it as we've gone along. I used to work as a lawyer at the NMC, which is the Nursing and Midwifery Council.
Yes, yes.
And in a case like this, you could potentially have had something called an interim order. And there is a parallel, by the way, in the criminal justice system.
Okay.
I know you're not, I'm also a criminal defence lawyer.
No.
If there is a risk to public harm, there is to the public of harm, you can have an interim order to suspend someone pending the substantive investigation.
Right.
I agree with Claire. It would be great to have a more streamlined system where everything happens quickly, whether that's in a regulatory capacity or elsewhere in our legal system.
Yes.
The truth is we don't have that. It will take years, if not decades, for that to happen. Meanwhile, you've got to think about protecting the public on an interim basis while you're waiting. And
so in practical terms, it is alleged that a doctor makes an anti-Semitic remark to a Jewish patient that they're treating. What would happen then under what you're suggesting here? They would be suspended.
Well, under what? I mean, there still has to be a panel that considers the veracity of the evidence, who made that allegation, whether it's substantiated, what independent corroboration there is, and so forth. And if there's an assessment that sort of risk to the public posed by that person whilst an actual hearing is prepared and scheduled, then an interim order can be imposed. Exactly the same way you would in the police force.
Okay.
If a police officer is accused of something which puts the public at risk, you would expect them to be suspended pending a full investigation.
Catherine, thanks for joining. You had make excellent points. You might not have heard the whole debate, but you've really moved it on, and I'm grateful we've gone a little bit late, so I have to get straight to the news. Have yourself a good day. Coming up after the news, we continue to try and drill down to more details of this supposed peace deal. What exactly drives President Trump?
From controversial businessman to international peace negotiator, what is really going on inside the mind of President Trump? I'm Dr. Marianne Trent, a clinical psychologist, and I'll be speaking to Nick later in the show.
And are we about to have a crackdown on chanting or hateful chants? The Prime Minister says, I've asked the Home Secretary to look more broadly at what other powers are available. We need to go further in relation to some chants. So suddenly we can't carry on chanting? Those stories and more follow the 9 o'clock news on LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 9 o'clock, the first phase of Donald Trump's peace plan for the Middle East has been agreed by Israel and Hamas. A ceasefire in Gaza is expected to begin later before an exchange of Israeli hostages and Palestinian prisoners in the coming days. People in Khan Yunis in southern Gaza celebrated after hearing the news. President Trump's been speaking to families of Israeli hostages on the phone.
We know you've done so much for us, and we trust you'll fulfill the mission
until every hostage, every 48 of the hostages are home. God bless you, Mr. President. God bless America.
Thank you very much. You just take care of yourselves. The hostages will come back. They're coming, all coming back on Monday.
All of them.
Sir Keir Starmer has called the agreement a profound relief, speaking on his trip to India just over an hour ago.
I'm grateful for the tireless diplomatic efforts of Egypt, Qatar, Turkey, United States and many others in securing this crucial first step. This agreement must now be implemented in full, without delay, and be accompanied by the immediate lifting of all restrictions on life-saving humanitarian aid to Gaza.
The Prime Minister's been holding talks with his Indian counterpart, Narendra Modi, in Mumbai. Sir Keir says they discussed trade and the need for a just and lasting peace in Ukraine. The pair had also been expected to talk about India's continued use of Russian oil and gas. Tens of thousands of people are to be supported into work with measures including job advisors in GP surgeries. There are around 2.8 million people out of a job because of long-term sickness. Disability campaigners have welcomed the additional support, but they've warned people shouldn't be forced into work. Water firms are set to raise their bills by up to 5% more than previously allowed. Anglian, Northumbrian, South East, Southern and Wessex Water argued Ofwat's initial decision meant they could not meet their regulatory requirements. It accounts for another £550 million in revenue. In the city, the FTSE 100 a short time ago was trading at down 28 at 95.19. The pound buys $1.33 and a euro 14. LBC weather, dry and bright in the south, cloudier further north with some light rain in Northern Ireland, a high of 19 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Thomas Watts.
That there is a great night's sleep. And when Susan wakes up, she's going to get to enjoy a delicious unlimited breakfast. Or, if that super comfy bed is just too hard to leave, Susan can enjoy a midday checkout. Get better sleep for your money. Book now at Premier Inn. Breakfast subject to availability. T's and C's apply.
This is LBC from Global. Leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Morning, 4 minutes after nine, Thursday, October the 9th. Coming up in this hour, the news the world is waiting for and waking up to, inching towards a Gaza peace deal. How much is this down to the extraordinary character that is Donald Trump? And what is the psyche that drives that man? 1 minute it would appear a ruthless bully, the next a charming negotiator. We'll try and dig deeper into that. Plus, carry on chanting? Well, perhaps not. The Prime Minister, on a trip to India, says he wants the Home Secretary to look at what powers there could be to stop us chanting. Something I put to Work and Pension Secretary Pat McFadden.
You know, it's the police who will make that judgment, but I do think some of the things chanted on these demonstrations have been, at best, irresponsible, and maybe worse than that.
Plus, Kemi Badenoch saying it's time to stamp out stamp duty. What's the reaction in the property game?
Set off an absolute bombshell. Everybody is talking about it. And doesn't that say to you how much people hate stamp duty? It's like inheritance tax.
That's property expert Martin Roberts. We'll have more on that later in the hour.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
Now, of course, those of you who suffer with TDS, Trump Derangement Syndrome, this is going to be a very difficult morning as you wake up and hear that it would appear, and I've stressed this from the get-go, it would appear there was a major breakthrough. If you weren't listening in the first hour, we talked about the extraordinary choreography. Most of you will recall or be able to recall that dramatic picture when President George W. Bush, an aide, whispers in his ear as he's reading, I think it's a nursery book or something to some children, that the United States is under attack. Those are the days of 9/11. And there's almost similar choreography yesterday as the president was in the White House on this occasion, and none other than Marco Rubio, Secretary of State, walked in and whispered in his ear. And then he quickly departed and then put out the announcements that you've heard on the LBC News Bulletin. But it has been it was an extraordinary Trump first term, wasn't it? And it's been an extraordinary Trump second term already. It's Jekyll and Hyde at times, moving between being a bullish, bullying businessman to, it would seem, international statesman and peace negotiator. But let's start with the former of those two stances, the bullish side of one Donald J. Trump. I take you back to events in February, that Oval Office exchange with President Zelensky over Ukraine's war with Russia.
You're right now not in a very good position. You've allowed yourself to be in a very bad position, and he happens to be right about it.
From the very beginning of the war.
You're not in a good position. You don't have the cards right now. With us, you start having cards.
Playing cards.
Right now, you don't have
cards.
You're playing cards. You're playing cards. You're gambling with the lives of millions of people. You're gambling with World War III.
Let's go to June and this expletive-laden rant at reporters before leaving for the NATO summit in The Hague. The president was reacting to Israeli strikes on Iran.
I'm not happy with Israel. You know, when I say, okay, now you have 12 hours, you don't go out in the first hour and just drop everything you have on them. So I'm not happy with them. I'm not happy with Iran either. But I'm really unhappy if Israel's going out this morning because of one rocket that didn't land, that was shot, perhaps by mistake, that didn't land. I'm not happy about that. You know what? We basically have two countries that have been fighting so long and so hard that they don't know what the f*** they're doing. Do you understand that?
Now, at that summit, the president carried on with his offensive, this time directed at the media, following the leaking of a Pentagon report questioning the impact of U.S. strikes on Iran.
This was an unbelievable hit by genius pilots and genius people in the military, and they're not being given credit for it because we have scum that's in this group, and not all of you are. You have some great reporters, but you have scum. CNN is scum. MSDNC is scum. The New York Times is scum.
Now, in recent weeks, and to show you the other side of Trump, there's been a more statesmanlike approach through his attempts to broker a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas. This was his statement over the weekend after both sides agreed to his 20-point peace plan for Gaza.
This is a very special day, maybe unprecedented in many ways. Thank you all to those great countries that helped. Everybody was unified in wanting this war to end and seeing peace in the Middle East, and we're very close to achieving that. Everybody will be treated fairly.
And that brings us to today, after being handed a note by Marco Rubio, Secretary of State, suggesting he needs to get his statement out quickly so he's seen to do it first. President Trump spoke with Fox News overnight and praised global efforts towards achieving peace.
The whole world came together, to be honest. So many countries that you wouldn't have even thought of, and they came together. The world has come together around this deal. I think you're going to see people getting along, and you'll see Gaza being rebuilt. We're forming a council that the Council of Peace, we think it's going to be called. People are going to be taken care of. It's going to be a different world.
And possibly, of course, a job for Sir Tony Blair. But that's a discussion for another day. Let's look at the Trump aspect. Dr. Marion Trent is a clinical psychologist and hosts the Aspiring Psychologist podcast and joins me now. OK, if you had Donald Trump lying on the couch beside you, or however it is you have your sessions and discussions, what's the first question you'd ask him? Good morning.
Hi, thanks for inviting me. Well, oh my gosh, I think I'd have to tidy up and do some dusting, I think, first. But, you know, like I would of anyone, I'd ask how they're feeling, you know, and encourage them to be able to speak without judgment, which, of course, he cannot do in his current role, can he? He's given a very big stage. Everybody asks for his opinion. And so it would be an interesting conversation, right? I'd be up for the gig.
What drives him?
What drives any of us? You know, what drives you to be a radio presenter? What drives me to be a psychologist?
I used to have to pay the rent. I've actually secured the mortgage now, so I quite like the incomes and looking after the family. I suppose that's what does it for me.
Yeah, but also I think what drives any of us as humans, we've got this sense of activation. We've also got this threat. We've also got the ability to soothe ourselves. And maybe his kind of three different spheres of threat, drive, and soothing all come together when he's doing something really powerful. You know, when we're working clinically with people that have lack of control, lack of power, their drive diminishes and depression rises, if that makes sense. So this is clearly something he finds lights him up, I guess.
Those who are not in his corner say that he's a manipulative bully. I'm not asking you to subscribe to that. I'm just going to ask you, what makes a bully?
Someone who, I guess, sees fear, someone who sees vulnerability, someone who's not able to or doesn't choose to tune in to anyone else's viewpoint or the fact that they might be distressed, and then might take joy from that distress. It might be that it's, it helps mask their own insecurities by projecting difficult feelings onto somebody else, or just distracting attention in a different way, you know, like appeasement. Look here, don't look at me.
What's the skill set required to persuade someone to change their view on something?
What a great question.
I've been doing it for a few years now.
I think firstly, you need space to be able to hear what the other person is saying. So that was very hard to listen to when he was speaking over someone and just being quite rude, actually. Yep. I wouldn't allow my children to do that. That's really not okay. We need to be able to hear both sides, but we need to be able to find that space where there's silence, where there's quiet, so that we can be curious about the other perspective and hear it in a way that we're not feeling defensive. So if you want to change someone's mind, you've got to try and make them feel safe to maybe look to other opportunities, other options.
Lastly, in a conflict that sadly, you don't count down the years, you count through the centuries, and the, in some instances, not all, inbred loathing of the other side, in some instances, I repeat, was it always going to take a maverick to try and break some of that down?
It takes someone with confidence and courage, but also someone who is maybe less inclined to think, maybe I shouldn't do this, maybe I'm not the right person.
So a risk taker, huh?
Yeah, I think so. But as humans, we are capable of great things, but we're also, all of us, capable of not so good things. That's part of being human.
Really enjoyed our conversation. Thank you, Dr. Marion Trint, clinical psychologist. Check out the Aspiring Psychologist podcast. Now, if you have got TDS, Trump Derangement Syndrome, and there's no shortage of you around, whatever the man does, whatever he does wrong, and by God, he's done some wrong things, don't for one second think I don't see that. Of course he has. Everybody does wrong things. How do you respond to what appears, I say again, and chickens and counting, whatever that expression is? How did that expression ever happen? Count your kids, count your chickens. How close are we? John's in Wanstead. John, you're on the radio. Good morning.
Hi there. I think it's marvellous news, the Trump-Blair peace plan.
Right.
Then I go to the opposite, the marches. I believe they've extended it by 2 years.
Sorry,
they've ordered Hamas, the marches, the hate marches. Two years.
Oh, 2 years of marching. Yes, I've got you. Yep, yeah, sorry, got it. Yep.
They've extended the war by 2 years. All they've done is embolden Hamas. Even Keir Starmer has got a message from Hamas, how much they thank him for recognizing the Palestine state.
Right.
None of the marches
Do you honestly think the Hamas terrorists sitting in Gaza are wondering how the demos are going in England, in the United Kingdom, I'm sorry? Do you think it influences them that much?
Well, it has enough to make them send a note of thanks to Keir Starmer.
No, but that was the Prime Minister's actions, wasn't it? Not the demos, not those who go on the demos.
No, but you'll notice also that it's a Trump-Blair plan. It's not a Trump-Keir Starmer plan. Keir Starmer has just extended the war again with all the marches.
Okay. I mean, I think Sir Keir has been... Probably he should have done more, but he's never been seen as a big supporter of those marches, and indeed has called for them, of course, to not to have demonstrated earlier in the week. John, thank you. Let's see what others make of your view. Mohammed, you're going to be the next caller on that. Let's come back to domestic affairs with the woman who would be Prime Minister.
Conference, the next Conservative government will abolish stamp duty on your home. It'll be gone.
A chuckling Kemi there will look at the impact on that sector. 9:15 LBC News headlines now, though. Thomas Watts.
The first phase of a peace plan for Gaza has been agreed by Israel and Hamas. A ceasefire is expected to begin later before an exchange of Israeli hostages and Palestinian prisoners in the coming days. Sir Keir Starmer's called it a profound relief. LBC weather, dry and bright with sunny spells across the south, cloudier further north, a high of 19 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Severe delays continue on the A3 northbound up to the Hook Junction. It's because of an accident. It's slow all the way back past Esher Common, but surrounding routes are hardly moving at all. Also, delays on the A2 westbound up to Bexley after an accident. There are delays back to the M25, but all the lanes are now back open. On Vauxhall Bridge, there's been an accident. It's northbound, and that's causing lengthy delays. And also in Penge, the High Street remains closed both ways after that fire. No DLR trains running between Bank and Canary Wharf, also up to Poplar, and also between Tower Gateway and Canary Wharf and Poplar. And that's because of a track problem. And on the underground, severe delays on the Victoria line.
LBC.
Welcome on board this LNER service from London King's Cross to Edinburgh. My name's Paul, your train manager today, and hang on, is that a Scrabble tournament in coach here? Yes, G with an X is a word. Right, we're cruising at 125 miles per hour, same speed this lad next to me is typing, someone's on a roll. The cafe bar's in coach G if you fancy a brew, or if you're mid-box set binge, just order through the QR code at your seat. We'll deliver it. So sit back and enjoy your journey. With LNER, it's freedom all the way.
This is LBC. Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app. Download it now from your app store.
For the nappies, peekaboos and tea parties. Mess, tantrums and sleepless nights. All those yo-yos, action figures and shinies. Lifts to mates, lifts to parties, lifts everywhere. For each and every one of those teenage years. Let's be honest. You probably owe your parents one. So tell them about pension credit. It could boost their pension income by an average of over £4,000 a year. Pension credit. Credit where credit's due. Eligibility criteria apply.
Imagine the very focal lens of the future. Personalized to you. Engineered with artificial intelligence and powered by your visual behavior. Experience instantly sharp vision in motion with Varilux XR Pro lenses from Essilor. Find your local optician at Essilor.com and ask for Varilux XR Pro.
Get extra support with Immunace multivitamins. With vitamin D, zinc and selenium, which contribute to the normal function of the immune system. Immunace from Vitabiotics, the UK's number one vitamin company. Verification at Vitabiotics.com. From Boots, Pharmacies and Vitabiotics.com.
Play Set for Life from the National Lottery. Winners get 10K every month for 30 years. You could win on repeat. Set for Life. Play now on the National Lottery app. Terms, rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
Those suffering TDS, Trump Derangement Syndrome, how will they react to the news? As hopefully, and I will put that caveat in again, hopefully, we could be inching towards some kind of Gaza peace deal. Mohammed's in South Shields. How did you react to the news when you heard it this morning, Mohammed? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Great show as always. Over the moon, Nick. Absolutely over the moon. And, you know, when we're sorting this out, the peace deal out, what people need to realise is when you're sorting anything out, disputes out, wars, civil wars, you're not going to get all your own way. And a lot of work's been done to get to this point.
Yep.
So one person's holding the love and hand of friendship out, and the other one's humbled enough to take it. So let's be grateful. But let's thank also everybody else who's been involved, people from Qatar, people from the Middle East, people from the UN or whatever. Everybody's worked so hard to get this peace deal done, and thank you so much for doing it.
Yeah, I agree. Do you think they'll get there, though? There's a lot to still be decided, not least, I'm trying to remember as well, the line, where they draw the line or something. Let me remind himself exactly what he said. Where's that copy gone? Will they be able to do that?
Yes, I believe so, Nick. Very much so. Very
so what is it so. About... Here we are. It is the agreed-upon line. That was it, the agreed-upon line. What is it about the dynamic of the man, then, that makes this happen, lastly, Mohammed?
I just think it's a great thing, you know. A great thing for humanity,
yeah.
You know.
Well, let's hope it holds. Mohammed, have yourself a good day up there in South Shields. We will return to this subject. But we had planned to do considerably more on this story, but obviously with events overnight, there's no point doing a breakfast show that's based on the news. If you don't react to the news, it breaks while you're asleep. So, of course, we move to the events in the Middle East. But let's come back to what we would have been discussing in more detail, which was this announcement as part of Kemi Badenoch's speech to the Conservative conference yesterday.
Stamp duty is a bad tax. It is an unconservative tax. The last Conservative government cut stamp duty for thousands of home buyers. But now we must go further. We must free up our housing market, because a society where no one can afford to buy or move is a society where social mobility is dead. So I have looked at the stamp duty thresholds to see where we can change them. I have looked at the rates you have to pay to see if we can lower them. I have decided that we can't, because that simply wouldn't be enough. Conference, the next Conservative government will abolish stamp duty on your home. It'll be gone. I thought you'd like that one.
And the crowd went wild, as they used to say. Literally, which is literally an overused word. If you read the political sketches in the Daily Mail or the Telegraph, there was rapture around the room. She'd done it, the firecracker. Now, according to the property website Zoopla, about 83% of buyers now pay stamp duty. Between January and August this year, home buyers paid £9.3 billion, according to Coventry Building Society's analysts of the latest HMRC statistics. An almost 21% lift on the £7.7 billion paid in the same period last year. The rise was because the threshold at which people start to pay reduced from £250,000 to £125,000 in March, as Chancellor Rachel Rees ended a temporary cut. The average bill, £4,582, says the Coventry Building Society. Andrew Teacher is an independent property expert and co-founder of Lauder Teacher. It occurs to me, actually, Mr. Teacher, firstly, just explain how stamp duty is calculated. Good morning.
Morning, Nick. It's basically worked on a percentage of the purchase price that you pay. So the more you pay, the more stamp duty you pay. And if you're foreign, you pay more. And if you've got more than one home, you pay more. And if you're buying as a landlord, you pay a bit more as well. So it's essentially a staggered tax. But the reason why the opposition leader has said it's a bad tax is, well, it disincentivizes people from moving, but then so do lots of other things. However, I think there's a couple of things I think she mentioned in the speech that is worth pulling out. Mm-hmm. Right? She talked about social mobility. She criticized reform for coming out with unfunded populist policies, and then comes out with this, which strikes me as being a pretty populist policy. It's not funded in any clear route. I know she's talked about lots of savings, but we were hearing that line on savings for the previous 14 years, and none of that proves to be true. And what I would say in response to that is, look, nobody likes paying tax. If you do any kind of poll of LBC listeners or any other listeners for that matter, they'll also don't like paying tax. No. And if you ask those same people, would you like more money for the NHS? They'll also say, yes, give us more money for the NHS. So the reality is that we need to do some unpopular stuff if we're going to fix the various problems that we have. And if one of those problems is social mobility, then I'd say to you, Nick, that spending a bit of money on reinstalling all the youth clubs we've dismantled since 2009 would have far more impact on social mobility than cutting stamp duty. Because if you're already looking at paying stamp duty, you're probably doing okay.
What are the... So at its lowest, what sort of percentage tax is it? And at its highest, what are the two figures roughly, Andrew?
It's between about 3 and 15%.
You pay between 3 and 15%. What... I hear what you say about it seems to have been almost dragged out of like a rabbit out of a hat. But what might the impact be, though, were it to be costed and delivered?
Well, I think you have to look at it in context. If you just did this and nothing else at all, what you're likely to see is an increase in housing transactions, but that will probably push up prices, because that's what happened last time. When we cut stamp duty and brought in Help to Buy, which is basically a taxpayer-funded handout to listed house builders, might be making myself a little bit unpopular with my clients, but I'm just telling you like it is, because very few people will do. But the fact is that some of these things look great on a speech at a conference, but once you start interfering with the market that has a bundle of unintended consequences, and if, again, coming back to this point on social mobility and making it easier for people at the bottom of the ladder, you make it harder for those people if prices go up. And if you just look at these things without other stuff in the round, such as reform to pensions, dismantling the triple lock, thinking properly about all of these Conservative councils that block planning applications week after week because they don't like any building, all of these things need to be taken into the debate.
Lastly, I'm going to ask you how the housing sector is doing, but I'm grateful Gary in Loughton has sent me a report from the London Evening Standard. Sales of new build private homes in London, new build, have collapsed to their lowest level in history. 19 houses and or flats, new builds, were recorded as changing hands in May. The figure was 23 in April. It used to be around 1,000. This is absolutely devastating, isn't it, Andrew?
It's rare that you could be accused of understating something, Nick, but I think devastating is a huge understatement. I think probably never again on your show will you ever understate something quite so extortionately. I think it's fair to say, and again, I'm understating the fact that the invisible mayor of London that we have right now has overseen the most devastating collapse in housing that will probably ever be seen. And the reason for that, and if you look through, and I challenge anyone, and there'll be lots of policy people listening to this, I challenge people to read through some of the recent documents that come out of the Mayor of London's office, the GLA. You won't find any mention of profit. And this is the problem, Nick. It's an ideological opposition to profit. And unless you enable and encourage and incentivize developers, because it's developers that build houses, not governments, unless you allow them to make profit, they won't build. And we have all of these regulations, these assertions that you have to build 30% affordable housing. Yeah. And that's a tax. And you can't tax something when the profits are down. And the reason the profits are down there is because construction costs are up, because of the war, because of interest rates. Debt is much, much more costly, and it means less profit to be made. If people can't make profit, they won't build.
Andrew Teacher is an independent property expert. Thank you, and co-founder of Lauder Teacher. Those figures again. Now, bear in mind, the London is meant to contribute over the 5 years that the Labour government want to build 1.5 million new homes. London is meant to contribute 440,000. Okay? And the figures that I just released revealed to you, in April, 23 new builds, homes or flats, 23 changed hands in April, 19 in May. Usually that figure runs at about 1,000. And that's the sort of crisis that she's trying to address. Rob, you're going to be the first call on that. I hope you can hold until the other side of the news when we can give you a good run at it. We will also, of course, be keeping a close eye on events, but bear in mind, well, America, pretty much all of America is now asleep. Washington about five. Well, Washington is 5 hours, so it's coming at about 4:30 in the morning. So there probably won't be a lot more. It's sort of the global reaction to the Gaza peace deal, but we'll keep an eye on that. And then we're coming back to the idea, as outlined in India by the Prime Minister and supported by his right-hand man, the enforcer, Pat McFadden, with me, to clamp down on... the idea that chanting could get you nicked. We'll look at that in more detail. 9:30, breakfast with me, Nick Ferrari on LBC. News time, Thomas Watts.
Israel and Hamas have agreed to the first phase of Donald Trump's peace plan for Gaza. It paves the way for a ceasefire from later today and the exchange of hostages and prisoners as soon as this weekend. The US says Israeli troops will withdraw to an unspecified but agreed-upon line. Sir Keir Starmer's called it a crucial first step. And communities are being encouraged to hold vigils and light candles today, a week on from the Manchester synagogue terror attack. Ministers say the Day of Solidarity is an important opportunity to stand with the Jewish community. LBC weather, dry and bright with sunny spells across the south, cloudier further north with some light patchy rain in parts of Northern Ireland. A high of 19 degrees.
LBC.
At ulisprosperity.com, you buy the car and we pay you up to £600 per month in rental income. For conditions, visit ulisprosperity.com.
Okay, I want you to close your eyes and think of your car. Now I want you to imagine yourself selling that car and getting a really great price for it. You just got the best offer for your car, like 500,000 other customers. It's not magic, it's Motorway. Sell your car for more at motorway.co.uk. 84% of sellers got more than market price for their car. Validated against two independent sources. Visit motorway.co.uk/claims.
Your daily life often goes like this. With Air France, choose instead. Until the 21st of October, put your daily life on hold. Take advantage of Air France moments.
and book your flight to St Martin from £679 flying from London Heathrow via Paris. Return including tax. Elegance is a journey. Air France. To book and for terms and conditions, visit airfrance.co.uk.
Early bird offers end Sunday in the Furniture Village sale with huge savings on many sofas, dining, beds and bedroom furniture. And that's on top of sale prices. Early bird offers end this Sunday in the Furniture Village sale. And remember to order in time for Christmas.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
Let's get straight to the cause on the idea of scrapping stamp duty. Robin Onger. Rob, your reaction to the news. Good morning.
Morning, Nick.
What do you think it would bring about?
I think it's a massively positive step for pushing back a little bit of life into the property market, which has stalled, most certainly over the last 18 months, probably 2 years. Mm-hmm. But also, you know, I have to disagree completely with your previous caller that it is a funded element, because to his figures, the average stamp duty at the moment is about £4,500.
Right.
But also, the average person that buys a new home will spend, or their increase in spending for the 12 months after buying a house will go up between 30 and 50%, which is on average about £20,000 in that next 12 months.
If you're a first-time buyer and you're buying a home for £500,000, £500,000, it's an additional £10,000. If, however, you already have an existing home, it can go up to £40,000. So that just gives listeners, Rob, an idea of the sort of money we're talking about. So someone buying a property, £500,000, £10,000 is the stamp duty if it's your first home, £40,000 if it's your second. Rob.
Yes, that's absolutely right. So if it is your first home, let's say, and you take an average price for a property in the UK of about £240,000, you're going to be paying £4,500 of stamp duty. So, okay, you know, this is a national thing. But if your average spend after that year is increased by about £20,000, the VAT on that alone is going to pay for the stamp duty loss. So it is very much a funded element.
I see.
Because you get far better and additional figures of pumping a load more income into the economy by incentivizing people to spend, because people, when they move house, spend on refurbishment, on the legal fees and all the other bits and pieces. Mm-hmm. So you're pumping a lot more money into the economy, vastly more than they would normally spend on a day-to-day basis.
What do you think the impact would be then?
I think it'll be, it's certainly costed. So as far as I'm concerned, it will be a cost neutral, if not cost beneficial, move. It'll help a lot of mobility within the UK. So people moving jobs around the country, it will certainly help that, because obviously a lot of movement, certainly north to south, is blocked by the extra cost of housing. And if you are pushing more incentives into the housing market, so as to your point, new builds have stalled. The housing market as a whole has got a lot weaker over the last 2 years, and prices are not increasing rapidly at all. So it will be a big push to try and get that movement again. And if you are going to try and build more houses, to the point of view that I do agree with your previous caller, you need to have profit, you need to have momentum, and you need to have incentives to build houses. And you need to do that by having more people and more demand.
Lastly, what's it done for the fortunes of Kemi Badenoch and the Conservative Party, Rob?
I think it's enhanced it. I think a lot of the decisions or calls that she was making have been eminently sensible. I think that will start pulling back a few Conservative voters that may be looking more to the right and more towards reform into, well, actually, this is the party of common sense, and actually might make a decent shout of it next time round.
Rob, thanks for all the background and your view. Chris, you'll be the next caller on that. But I want to come back to something that I discussed with Pat McFadden in the first hour of the show, which is that there could be a crackdown on chanting such as... Those are just some of the chants that you've heard in London and other cities, of course, of the 2 years since October the 7th. Well, offensive chanting could be targeted on a crackdown, the Prime Minister has suggested. He was in India. He pointed out that earlier this week, Shabana Mahmood outlined plans to give police forces new powers to stop protesters repeatedly holding demonstrations at the same site. But this would move it on. Sakir saying, I've asked the Home Secretary to look more broadly at what other powers are available, how they're being used, whether they should be changed. we need to go further in relation to some chants. So, in the first of the show, as I say, I spoke with the cabinet enforcer, Work and Pension Secretary Pat McFadden, and I asked, would people be possibly arrested for chanting?
Well, the Home Secretary spoke about this at the weekend, and what she was talking about is more powers for the police, where there are repeat processes and considering the cumulative effect on them.
But she didn't mention chanting, Pat, did she?
Well, I do have to say, some of the things chanted on these demonstrations I think have been pretty irresponsible in the last couple of years. But I am more hopeful this morning, Nick, that instead of having to deal with weekly demonstrations, we might actually be dealing with a proper peace process.
And amen to that, but I've got to press you again, Mr. McFadden. Could you get nicked for chanting?
Well, I don't know if you can get... You know, it's the police who will make that judgment, but I do think some of the things chanted on these demonstrations have been, at best, irresponsible, you know, and maybe worse than that. Right. And look at what happened in Manchester just a week ago with that terrible attack on the synagogue.
Matt McFadden speaking there. Of course, we want to stop any harassment or any potential criminality, but arrested or potentially arrested for chanting, who's going to decide whether the chant is offensive? Remember, years ago, someone got nicked for telling a police officer that his horse looked gay. He actually got arrested for that. You've got to be careful the powers you hand to people. Now, I am not supporting, as if you've listened to me for any time, you'll know, I would not support the chanting of slogans that are known to cause distress or to call for illegal action or violence or whatever it might be. But arrested for chanting? We might take some of your calls on that. But it's stamp duty that you want to talk about. Chris is in Huddersfield, been hanging on for some time. What does the idea do for the housing market? What does it do for Kemi Badenoch? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Yeah, I think it's a fantastic idea, to be frank. Obviously, up here in the north, it's very different to the house prices in the south.
Right.
I think your previous caller was spot on with regard to his funding. I mean, just in my sort of experience, that 90% of my friends work in the trades, whether it be plasterers, plumbers, et cetera.
Are they busy?
And no. Well, this is the point, no, because the housing market has just ground to a screeching halt. And I say 90% of their work is, you know, new kitchens, new bathrooms for people who have moved, whether that be first, second, third, fourth time. But unfortunately, with the government talks around productivity, but this has just stopped productivity. There's nothing for local work or trades to be doing, you know, local shops, local plumbers, merchants, etc. They're all stopped because literally nobody's moving because of, you know, these regressive taxes, which, you know, stamp duty is one of.
When did it all slow down? Do your friends tell you how long ago that was?
Yeah, it's probably been around that time for the last year, that there's been a marked change. Obviously, there's the increased nervousness as well with the delay in the, you know, the later budget as well. Of what's going to go on there, so people are sort of holding fast, and it's just it literally has killed all productivity and people's outlook is just, you know, everybody's entrenched really, rather than looking at you know, putting additional effort and money into the coffers. It's, well, let's keep hold of it because nobody knows what's going to happen.
Do you reckon it will get votes for the Conservatives?
Say again, sorry, Nick.
Do you reckon it would be a vote winner for the Conservatives?
I absolutely do. I really do. I genuinely, without going into a sort of side political note, I don't know of anybody up here in the north, whether that's be Leeds, Wakefield, Huddersfield, Barnsley, all around this area, who are ever going to vote for Labour again. I know that's a...
Wow.
I genuinely do. I mean,
you're used to weigh the Labour vote up there. So many people voted before.
Yeah, genuinely, like I'm 35, and obviously around my cohort of people and older people, etc., reform will absolutely... They talk about the red wall, it'll be the light blue wall or whatever it'll be. genuinely, just
how
in the pubs, in the pubs, in the supermarkets, on the street, no matter where you go, it's all about reform, I guarantee you. And I hold no candle for Nigel Farage.
No.
I'm more of a Zia Yusuf fan, to be frank.
Okay.
But again, I'm just speaking of what I hear and speak and what family and friends and...
But just lastly on this, and I find it fascinating, Chris, it's not so much necessarily your mates in the pubs and whatever, support for reform policies. It's just utter disenchantment with Labour and Conservatives.
It's both.
Oh, okay.
It's both.
Okay.
I think it's just, again, 17 years of sort of Tory mismanagement, a lot of it.
Yeah.
You know, there's been a, listen, there was dealt a bit of a sticky wicket with COVID, et cetera, but again, you look at the chickens coming home to roost with PPE scandals, et cetera, there. And then Labour, I mean, they've just completely lost the ship now. And certainly up north. I genuinely can't think of anywhere between from Liverpool up all the way to here that will ever vote Labour again.
Fascinating talking to you, Chris. Thank you. Look after yourself. Bit of a detour from stamp duty. Let's get back on that with Peter in Gateshead. Peter, good idea or not? Good morning.
No.
Why not, Peter?
Well, I was born in this house in 1961, right?
Right.
I bought the house... Oh, my mum and dad bought this house under the right to buy.
Right.
So my house, at the current rate, is about £80,000.
Your house is worth about £80,000, is it?
Yes. Yeah, right. So it's a council estate.
Yes.
Why can't councils build homes anymore?
Now that is the million-dollar question. I have no idea, because they just don't have the funds. They seek to make private developers have an allocation of whatever housing developments they do. There has to be a percentage that they can then apply.
And the main question is, people wouldn't have to pay a stamp duty to buy my house, but somebody who pays like £2 or 3 million for a house is going to be exempt from the actual stamp duty.
So what you're saying is that, in actual fact, because your house is worth £80,000, but for someone who is fortunate enough to buy a place, I don't know, £2.5 million or whatever, they're the ones who effectively be let off. That's what you're saying. It's not fair, roughly.
Yeah. I mean,
so it would help. It would help the rich, is what you're saying, in brief.
I don't vote Labour. I never have done since my mum and dad died,
right.
Because I was encouraged to vote.
Right.
To actually vote Labour.
Right. Were your mum and dad Labour voters, Peter?
Yes. Yeah.
So what do you vote for?
Well, I'm not sure what I'm going to do.
Well, who did you vote for last time, sir? If I can ask.
Conservative.
Ah, okay, but you don't know that you'd go with them again.
Well, we had three parties, like Labour, Conservative, and like Lib Dem.
Yes, that's right.
And that was it. We didn't have other parties. We didn't have other parties that most...
Okay, so who would you vote for this... it is Thursday. Who would you vote for tonight if there was an election?
I don't know.
You don't know. Peter, look after yourself. Thank you for the background. We're going to be talking about the peace plan. Remember, we are supposedly about 15 minutes away from the start of signatures of this. It is reported, supposedly. Abby, you'll be the next caller on that. As we celebrate, of course, what Donald Trump appears to have achieved overnight. It's 9:45. LBC News headlines. Thomas Watts.
Representatives from Israel and Hamas are expected to sign a Gaza ceasefire deal in the next half hour. It's expected to begin later before an exchange of Israeli hostages and Palestinian prisoners in the coming days. Sir Keir Starmer's called it a profound relief. LBC weather, dry and bright with sunny spells across the south, cloudier further north, a high of 19 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Severe delays continue on the A3 going northbound up to the Hook Junction. It's after an accident. Those queues go back past Esher Common and the surrounding routes are extremely slow. In Hampton Court, some emergency repair works are having to take place on the Hampton Court Road. So they're causing queues. Also delays on the A40 eastbound to Hillingdon Circus after an accident, and long delays on the North Circular Road going southbound to the Redbridge roundabout at the A12, and that's where a car has broken down. Also, the delays that continue in Penge, the High Street is closed in both directions. On Vauxhall Bridge, there was an accident northbound involving a bus. All the lanes are back open now, but it's still very slow.
LBC's Make Some Noise.
This Friday is Make Some Noise Day, LBC's charity fundraiser helping brilliant projects right across the UK. And you can get involved with an exciting prize as you and a guest could be exclusively joining us behind the scenes at LBC. Start the day with a coffee and a Q&A with me, Nick Ferrari. Then grab your spot in the studio to watch James O'Brien in action and you'll meet him too. You'll get a private tour of the studios at Global from LBC to Heart, Capital and the Newsagents podcast before you catch up with Sheila Fogarty and hear about how she puts her show together. Then it's off for afternoon tea at the Soho House Hotel and you'll get two tickets to see James O'Brien's Full Disclosure live in London on the 19th of February. To enter this competition, text the word studio to 84850. That's studio to 84850. By entering, you'll have the chance to make a voluntary £10 donation, which will be added to your phone bill. 100% goes to LBC's charity Make Some Noise. You've got until 4 p.m. on Friday the 10th of October to enter. Standard network rates apply. You must be 18 or over to enter. For full T's and C's, including prize date restrictions, visit lbc.co.uk. Good luck! Make sure you stay with LBC this Friday for Make Some Noise Day and more ways to help our fantastic charity.
Coming up at 10 on LBC, James O'Brien.
Peace in the Middle East, please God, but it's not the despair that gets you most, is it? It's the hope.
James O'Brien on LBC.
I'm literally crying.
Same, but my bladder can't take these laughs. I may have to leave.
Wait, try one of my always discreet maximum protection pants. Total game changer when the floodgates open up.
Seriously?
It gives me complete peace of mind, even for my heaviest bladder leak surprises. Go try one on.
Fair play. And now I can stay until the last gag.
Try always discreet new maximum protection pants for heavy bladder leaks.
Nick Ferrari now, 0345 6060 973, LBC. Looking for a fixed passive income backed by real demand? With ulezprosperity.com, you buy the car, we rent it from you for a set period. You stay the legal owner and we pay you up to £600 per month in fixed rental income. No hassle, no maintenance, no tenants. It's a straightforward asset-backed rental agreement. Visit ulezprosperity.com for conditions and to learn more. That's ulezprosperity.com. Simple, steady, secure.
With the long, hot summer still fresh in the memory, it's easy to forget what's around the corner. Prepare your BMW for whatever the great British weather can muster with a BMW seasonal inspection. For just £39.99, our expert technicians will top up fluids and oil, check the essentials like tyres, wipers and battery, and return your BMW washed, vacuumed and winter ready. Search BMW seasonal inspection. T's and C's apply.
Amazon has increased funding for employees to £3,000 a year every year for career development. Like Juliet, she's now a trained technician. And to her, the sound of machinery in need of repair reminds her of how far she's come. In 2 years, she's landed her dream job, providing her with valuable skills. That's up to £3,000 every year for career development at Amazon. Eligibility conditions apply.
For anyone needing assistance when travelling with TfL, such as people with visual or mobility impairments, our Turn Up and Go service has staff on hand to help. It's available at all London Underground, London Overground and Elizabeth Line stations, and there's no need to book. Just turn up and go. That is how we're making the greener way to travel more accessible to all. Search TfL Improvement Plan. To the Mayor of London and TfL, every journey matters. Greener than total estimated petrol and diesel car emissions.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
Let's come back to our conversation about the extraordinary psyche of Donald Trump. Steve, we'll come back to stamp duty in the UK, but look at what might be the global achievement. 1 minute, was he threatening to make Canada the 51st state or buy Greenland or whatever it might be? And yet the next, it would appear we're getting inching towards some kind of peace. Abby's in Golders Green. Abby, what are you going to say? Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Hello. Hi, yeah, I mean, I'm very, very hopeful. Hopefully, sure. God, this peace process is going to go through. And I think especially for all those families waiting for the hostages to return, I can't even imagine how they feel right now. Mm. But just my thoughts about Trump specifically is I was never a fan of him. I think as a human being, he's just not somebody I could ever bring myself to respect, given everything that we hear mm-hmm. and know about him. But I have done a complete 180 on my thoughts about him. And I just think that he has a certain strength and an ability to stand up to people who have a different ideology, perhaps, to the Western ideology. And he understands it. And he recognizes that you have to meet their irrationality and their craziness with strength and with his own, perhaps, sometimes irrationality, but it's strength. Like he comes across when he writes these long tweets, you know, and he's just saying like, you have to do this and you have to listen. And if you don't do it, this is going to happen.
Well, I mean, that was very evident when he said last week, if Hamas doesn't agree to this, I will tell Israel, go for your life, do what you like.
Yes. And when I heard that, not just that element, but that whole piece, I literally was like, yes, thank you. Like, stand up to these people, because these people, they're terrorists. They hate everything that Western values, British values stand for. They hate Jews. They want to kill them. Like, he's standing up for that. And I'm sorry, but I think Keir Starmer in this situation has come across as weak and pathetic. And I just don't respect him.
What has Starmer done that is, and I'm going to quote words back to you, what has Starmer done that's weak and pathetic, Abby?
I think he hasn't done what Trump has done, which is stand up to Hamas. You know, he's never said, given them an ultimatum. He's never, like, I think there's a lot of politicians who say, yes, bring the hostages home, but nobody's actually done anything or demanded or made, you know,
Zakir, he might say, of course, that recognizing the state of Palestine was an important step, is what Zakir might say, Abby. How would you respond to that?
I think he does say that, but I think that just emboldened Hamas and rewarded what they've done with something that never should be theirs. Like, let the Palestinian people prove themselves through creating a society which is safe, a society which values that we have in the UK, and then let them have a state. Like, okay. I just think having a state through terrorizing and killing people, I don't know where else that exists. So I think that what Keir Starmer did was very weak.
Lastly, if it does come about, would President Trump be deserving of the Nobel Peace Prize?
I think so. Yes, I do. I think he's got all the Arab nations together, plus huge amount of Western nations sat around the table, which is unprecedented, to bring about peace in the Middle East.
Abby, thank you. Let's go from the Middle East back to the... Thank you very much, Abby. Back to the UK. And that speech yesterday by Kemi Badenoch talking about abolishing stamp duty. This is what you're saying. Steve, coming to your call in just a moment. Graham in Bushy, abolishing stamp duty is a good thing because people cannot borrow against it on their mortgage and need to pay for it out of their own cash. So as well as saving for a deposit, people have to save for stamp duty. Heather in Christchurch, so stamp duty will be abolished if we have a Conservative government. Do I recall Mrs. Badenoch saying in her interview with you a couple of days ago that when she took over, one of her concerns was the party was nearly... You say the party was nearly bankrupt. I think you mean the country. If so, abolishing stamp duty costs will have to be clawed back some other way. There's no such thing as a free lunch. As a free lunch, apologies. Carl in Cheshire, Kemi has delivered a cynical, impossible policy. It's only designed to stop the free fall of her popularity rating. She's got more chance of a job delivering parcels to Amazon by the next election than she has being leader of the Conservative Party. Remember, of course, those elections in London and other parts of England and Scotland and Wales will determine possibly her hopes on that. Steve's in Rochester. Steve, your view. Good morning.
Hello there. Stamp duty, good idea maybe, but for so few people. People in move house, yes. Those who aren't moving house, not going to go anywhere, is it?
Why do you suppose people aren't moving? Is it the stamp? Do you think this is the great sort of sticking point?
It's also the price of houses. Obviously, I come from Rochester. You don't get much in Rochester for 300 grand or so. Bring down the house to affordable housing doesn't mean £300,000-£400,000 houses. It'd be cheaper housing on the market.
Right. If you're buying a house for £500,000, my colleague tells me you're going to have, if it's the first time, you're going to have to find £10,000. That is a chunk of change. It's going to help, surely.
It is a chunk of change, but how many people got £500,000 for first-time house? First-time buyers, well, I say shouldn't, aren't invariably £500,000.
Well, it comes down pro rata, doesn't it? So, £250,000, I'm assuming, it would be £5,000, £5,000.
I mean, yeah, you still need to have affordable housing. I don't know how wages and houses are comparing now to what they used to. I mean, my house was 45 grand many, many years ago.
Right. What's it worth now?
$450, I thought.
How long ago did
wages
you buy it?
Wages haven't gone like that. 30 years ago.
Interesting, isn't it? It's roughly when I bought my house. The figures are extraordinary. Steve, thank you. Bob in Romford. Bob, will it work? Good morning.
Hi there, yeah. I wouldn't imagine it's going to make any difference. The bit that I was going to say, you asked why do councils not build houses?
Yes. Well, yes.
And the answer to that is they can't afford to borrow to build and then have 5 years later have to sell them at a discount.
Well,
it's the right to buy.
They should keep them.
Yeah, well, they should do, but there's a right to buy. It's a law. So no, they have to sell them at a discount.
No, that's right. So that needs to be scrapped.
It's got to be scrapped, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know what vintage you are, but I remember years and years ago, back in the, well, I wasn't around in the 50s, but in the 60s, people stayed in their council homes. They lived their entire lives in their council homes.
And their children lived in there after them as well.
And,
yeah.
there was plenty of stock about.
Absolutely.
But I don't know how this has happened.
Well, the other thing is, you were saying about only 19 houses had changed hands in the last
May.
Quarter. What do you mean by changed hands? Because
completed.
If you've got those affordable type houses, you don't ever buy them.
These are new properties with new owners changing hands, i.e. they go from the builder, Ferrari Building Incorporated, to the man or woman or family that have bought them. Bob, thank you. That's what changing hands means in that instance. Let's have one call. I did talk about a possible crackdown on chanting, which is being floated by the PM. Ben's in Edgware. Ben, your reaction to that? You've got about a minute. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, hello. Yes, it's being misrepresented. I'm Jewish. I've been on all these marches. There is no anti-Semitism.
I've heard it, Ben.
Yes?
I mean, I've heard it. We've played tapes of it, Ben.
Yes, exactly, but it means that Palestinians who've been under the yoke of Israel for...
Would you want chanting to be banned? Can we talk about that?
Certainly not. Not the chant of from the river to the sea means Palestinians
need... Okay, we're going to end it there, because you know that you're causing offence to people. We are on a day where possibly, we are inching towards peace. I am not going to finish this particular show on such a low note. So I will thank you, Ben, for your input. Safe demonstrating if you choose to go again. I hope it goes well. But let's just, and we could even be minutes away from when those first signatures go on the piece of paper, so let's just finish on a positive. I'm done for the day. Thank you for all your calls. James O'Brien will be the other side of the news here on LBC. I'll be back with you tomorrow morning from 7. Meantime, stay safe.
Thank you, Nick. The time is approaching 10 o'clock, and yes, in the next few moments, we are expecting to see signatories sit down together and sign a peace agreement for the Middle East, something devoutly to be wished for. Some of the details, there's lots and lots of moving parts, but there would be about a 72-hour window in which all the hostages would be released, about 2,000 Palestinian prisoners also released. The exact timing due to be announced later today. We have kind of been here before, but after that attack on Qatar by Israel, not with an American president in place who appears reluctant to greenlight. Well, you tell me what you think is going to happen next.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 10 o'clock, representatives from Israel and Hamas are set to sign the first phase of a deal to end the war in Gaza. The two sides reached agreement at talks in Egypt overnight, with a formal ceasefire expected to begin later. An exchange of Israeli hostages and Palestinian prisoners could take place in the coming days. Sir Keir Starmer welcomed the deal, speaking on his visit to India.
This agreement must now be implemented in full, without delay, and be accompanied by the immediate lifting of all restrictions on life-saving humanitarian aid to Gaza. The UK will support these crucial immediate steps and the next stages of the talks to ensure the full implementation of the peace plan.
Israeli troops could begin their withdrawal to an agreed-upon line within 24 hours. LBC's Washington correspondent Simon Marks says many of the details remain unclear.
there's going to be a huge amount of interest in understanding where that line is physically being drawn. Is this in any sense going to be a full-scale Israeli military withdrawal? Because the devil in all of this is going to be in the details, and where those Israeli troops are being pulled back to will be critical. The Israelis also say they're going to allow hundreds of trucks of humanitarian assistance, so urgently needed in Gaza, to enter the territory every single day going forward.
In other news, employment advisers are to be stationed in GP surgeries as part of efforts to get sick and disabled people back into work. There are currently more than 2.8 million people signed off with long-term sickness. The Work and Pensions Secretary, Pat McFadden, has told LBC that 300,000 people could benefit.
I don't want people to be written off, and nor do I want the allocation of sickness benefits to be a one-off lifetime verdict, when sometimes someone's conditions can change, their situation can change, and we just shouldn't write them off.
A man has been arrested on suspicion of kidnap after a woman was reportedly forced into a van in East London. Police were called to a street in Canary Wharf last Tuesday night. Officers say they've been unable to identify the woman's identity, and they are concerned for her welfare. Five water firms have been told they can raise bills by up to 5% more than previously agreed. They argued original price controls meant they wouldn't be able to meet their regulatory requirements. In the city, the FTSE 100 a short time ago was down 29 at 95.04. The pound buys $1.33 and the euro 14. LBC weather, dry and bright across the south, cloudier further north with some light patchy rain in Northern Ireland. A high of 19 Celsius. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Thomas Watts.
Quaker is an official sponsor of Team GB, and rightly so. After all, the rowing team's motto is Oats Move Boats. But why stop there? Team GB, if you're listening, try these on for size. Quaker sachets, move Bob sleighs. Ugly bowl, forward roll. One for the gymnasts. The world's your stage when you eat some beige. Maybe just stick to Oats Move Boats. Quaker. Deliciously real, deliciously ugly. Sponsor of Team GB.
This is LBC from Global. Leading Britain's conversation with James O'Brien.
Good morning. It's 3 minutes after 10 and you are listening to James O'Brien on LBC, where the story understandably dominating the international news headlines at the moment is the Gaza peace deal that is due to be signed later today. My information was that they could be putting pen to paper pretty much as we speak, but that process has not commenced yet. When it does, it will be in Sharm el-Sheikh in Egypt, and it will involve negotiators from the Israeli government and from Hamas. Donald Trump is, inevitably trying to take all the credit for it, and I think it's probably fair to say that he deserves some, chiefly post the attack on Qatar, for making sure that his Netanyahu understood that his patience is finite, which is a big shift on previous ceasefire agreements, which were broken for various reasons and in various ways, but always seemed to hinge upon the fact that no consequences would follow the breach. One of his key allies in the Israeli cabinet has already made it clear that he will not be voting for this deal. That's Itamar Smotrich, one of the very far-right members of Benjamin Netanyahu's administration. And that is an illustration of how many moving parts there are. And I don't know whether or not I'm the only one who is feeling a little bit more cautious or trepidatious than some of the public figures that we've already heard from this morning. I don't know what the diplomacy of this is, whether or not you actually increase the momentum for peace by greeting it in such a celebratory fashion. I pray, and that's not a word you've heard me use very often on this program, I pray this works. If it works, give Donald Trump the Miss World crown, the Nobel Peace Prize, whatever it is. Today is not the day to be reminding you of the fact that he's calling for elected officials in his own country to be arrested and putting armed troops on the ground in his own country's cities where the local government doesn't want them and there's obviously no need for them. We covered that yesterday, but, you know, even a stop clock can be right twice a day. And the notion that a peace deal is just about to be realised, one that would stay in place, unlike the last two or three, is something devoutly, I beg your pardon, it's Bezalel Smotrich, Itamar Ben-Gvir. It's Bezalel Smotrich who has made it clear he will not vote for the deal. I suspect most Israel watchers would expect Ben-Gvir to be in a similar slot, but I think I mixed up their first and second names. And that's the problem I've got this morning, and the one that I'm going to ask for your help with. It's about the relationship between hope and despair in many ways. There's an absence of knowledge. That's always tricky in these situations. For example, how many people feel qualified to provide a quick précis of what happened to the previous ceasefire arrangements, presided over and signed in some cases when Joe Biden was in the White House. I mean, the provenance, if you like, the fact that they didn't work adds to this sense of caution. But the levels of celebration suggest that something different is going on here. The levels of celebration suggest that people think this one's going to stick. The main reason why people think this one is going to stick is probably contained within the fact that Smotrich is poised to vote against it. And that is that it appears that Trump has said, keeping the far-right wing of your own party happy to keep yourself in power is no longer something that the United States of America is prepared to countenance. And that means, I think, that the end of the road is nigh for Netanyahu's political career, surely, because the only thing that has allowed him to postpone Judgment Day in an Israeli court is the fact that the country is at war. And you know, and I know, that saying anything with certainty at this moment in such an extraordinary process is extremely difficult. So I think we'll talk about uncertainty, and we'll address it with hope. Tell me how hopeful you are. 0345 6060 973 is the number you need. On the question of the Nobel Peace Prize, as I say, make him Miss World if that actually helps this stick. But it's not really something that he should even be considered for, because it's awarded for events in 2024. This year's Nobel Peace Prize is awarded for events in 2024, which, of course, was not a year in which he was even president. He's lobbied for it in a way that we've never seen before, even making up wars that he claims to have resolved. But I mean, the stakes are so high here that the carnage in Gaza particularly, so utterly hideous and unconscionable, that anything that brings it to a close is to be welcomed, is to be greeted. And of course, in Donald Trump land, facts like that don't matter. Little facts like, you know, you'd probably have to do a little bit more than announce a ceasefire to get a Nobel Peace Prize. You'd want to sit around for a few months and see whether or not it has actually been achieved. In Donald Trump land, the piece of paper would be worth at least as much as the actual piece. And who cares that it's an award that would only be given retrospectively for events in 2024? Even though this has happened in